Steve, thanks.
I know we're winning.
When you say we're winning, what do you mean by that?
Well, we're winning because we're able to come to this lovely job every day, which I will still come here tomorrow after we win the Powerball. Are you in on the pool?
Well, you mean to clean out your office?
No, I would still work. You wouldn't work?
I would not work.
You honestly wouldn't?
With that much money? No, I would...
It's about satisfying your soul. It's not about money.
I've been running through such fantasy.
Me too. Can't stop.
No, I would be a full-time job to give that money away. You know?
Would you do that, Steve?
Absolutely.
You would do that?
Look, you could give $1 million to 100 of your closest friends and it wouldn't touch it.
Right.
So, yeah, you could give away $500 million, $600 million over... You know, the course of the next 10 or 15 years, that would be my full-time job.
So would precedent go to people who just, like, they were strangers and you could tell they needed money, various charities, or would it go to the people who you've known your whole life who say, hey, all of a sudden you've got a lot of money, could I have some of that money?
Well, I would give, and I'm not trying to fool you, I would spend a lot on myself.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of
cash
there.
What's the first thing you would buy?
A pool table.
You know, the first thing I'd do, honest to God, there are two things that would take priority.
What?
I would get a new roof, and I would close off our loft bedroom. Honest to God.
That's realistic.
And it's within, I mean, I could do it now if I get on a, you know, 50-year payment plan with the roof, original roof from the 1860s.
Yeah.
But honestly, those are the first two things I would do, and then I would do nothing for several months just so I could... sit back and assess everything.
See, realistically, when you're buying a ticket, you're buying what you just said and what Steve just said.
Right.
You're buying a dream for a very short amount of time, but you're buying yourself fantasy.
Isn't that okay?
Absolutely.
It is okay.
It hurts no one.
Right.
Unless you spent, you know, your life savings on it.
That's what I was getting at. If you're putting down $2 or $4 or $6, you can afford that. So dream away. Think about what you'll do with the money. But then if you have any sense of reality anywhere on you, you have to realize it's not going to happen.
But so if we win, we have a little pool going here, which I want to get this out of the way right now.
All right.
I owe you $2 because I know you, Bill. Mm-hmm. I know you very well. Look, they're crisp $2 bills. I want it to be known that I've paid you.
Thank you. Kevin, run these through the scanner and make sure that these are legit, please.
Bill is the type of person, since we all went in on a little pool together here at the office, 56 of us, which I think I figured out will still get $26 million.
When we don't win later tonight, you mean?
If we win, I'm taking your $26 million because you've been complaining about it.
It doesn't work that way.
And
the only reason I played is so that you wouldn't win and me not win. That's the only reason I'm playing.
Why do you hate me so?
I don't.
Why are you jealous? Why are you envious?
Money would ruin you. Money would tear you to shreds.
No, it would save my house from leaking because I'd get a new roof and I'd finally have privacy in our bedroom.
You wouldn't. Do you know what you would do? You would buy a drive-in movie theater so that you could play Candy Crush on a huge, gigantic screen. That's what you would do.
Yeah,
is Ideas your middle name?
Yes.
That'd be money well spent.
I didn't even think of that.
That's the dream right there.
Oh, my God.
That's my fear, is that you would spend all the money just having a specially made drive-in movie theater, and then it would be showtime, and I'd say to Kevin, where's Wendy? She's supposed to be here for the show. And he'd say, well, she's out at her new outdoor drive-in theater playing Candy Crush.
How big would that joystick be? Or could I sync it up to my car wheel?
Probably.
So as I turn right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You've given me an even bigger dream. That's my fear. But I want it to be known that I paid you the $2 that you put in the pot because I know you.
Yeah.
And I know if by some strange miracle our winning numbers come up, you would say, well, I get Wendy's portion because she never paid me back. I know you.
I would do that.
I know.
Now, you have a printout of the numbers that are in this office pool, don't you?
Yeah, but I got to reprint.
How come?
I only have half the numbers.
Oh, you only have some of them?
Yeah.
So as they're calling off the winning numbers later tonight, are you gonna be there looking at the numbers?
You weren't invited to the looking at the numbers party?
I was not invited to that party.
We're all going to do it together. Kevin, aren't we going?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that invite.
I am totally going to look at them. You're not going to look at them. You're just going to act like you don't care. And then when $26 million comes your way, oh, didn't think it could happen. Thanks.
It's impossible.
Bob Coyne.
It's just impossible.
It's not impossible.
It is impossible.
Did you hear in the news what I said about the fact that all these people playing all these tickets, they still think they're only about 80% of the possible combinations being purchased?
Wait, say that again. I don't understand.
Well, why don't they print out a winning combination, computer?
There's 292 million winning number combinations.
Right.
All the people who purchased tickets, all those dollars, there's still about 20% of the possible combinations
that won't
have been purchased.
All right. Now,
let's get those. let's find out what they are by 9 o'clock tonight.
All right. That reminds me of something I want to bring up that I think is very important in this. Can we take a quick break? And then I want to show you how history plays into this. All right. I know that seems like a stretch, but it isn't. And I'll explain
buzz
it in a little bit.
Buzz kill. And not men. Buzz
right.
kill.
No, I
That's
get it.
You.
I get it. All right. So we'll
not
come back.
Not fabulous.
Not fabulous at all. We'll be right back. We have more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. Since we're talking about the lottery and how everybody is dreaming, you walk around the streets of Chicago or probably anywhere in the country right now, and you just see people just looking off into the space, just going, oh, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to be very, very rich. It's going to change everybody's life. I don't know how people don't remember this story, but this actually happened. This isn't just a product of my imagination. Years ago, these people got together, a consortium, if you will.
Consortium.
It was also one of those, and they said, let's beat the lottery. Let's figure out how we can form a syndicate, because consortium is too hard to say, and we'll beat the lottery. And here's what they did. They waited till the jackpot was a certain amount of money, and then they all went off on their merry way, and they purchased all these tickets, and the numbers were already preconceived. Like, they already sat down and said, you take all the numbers that are in this sequence, I'll take all the ones in this sequence. And they for days, they're like, buying the tickets, and they said, we've got every number covered. And they did win the lottery. A small group of people together beat the system. Then they realized how lucky they were, because at the end of this, they went, oh my God, there were like 23,000 numbers that we didn't even play. We didn't even think about those combinations. But if one of those had come up, because they had invested hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, if one of those numbers came up, we would all be out of luck. But it didn't play out that way. They won the lottery. Does anyone remember that besides me?
No.
No one does.
Now, the fact that we have people in an office pool, and I speak of this because we're not the only ones. A lot of people done this.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have 12 Powerball slips, and there's like 4 or 5 games on each one. So
what
like
is that?
50
I don't
combinations.
What that means.
There's 50 combinations, roughly, that we could win. Does that increase our odds?
I'm not sure why I understand that. What do you mean there's 50 ways
to win? Each line on these Powerball is a combination, so that could be a potential winner. So now that we have this many that we're all splitting together, does this up our odds than if we would just go in and buy a $2 ticket on our own? Because we have all these chances to win.
Your odds are better.
Infinitesimal.
Right. They're better, but so now it's 2 in 292 million instead of 1 or 50.
Right. It doesn't cut it in half
million.
For a third.
No, but
or
it's
quarter.
Still 50 out of 292 million is better than 1.
It is that. Yes.
By 0.00000000.
I have some hope.
I do.
I do too,
you
Steve.
Know, can I tell you my favorite part of the day? So you've had Ryan on down there and
yeah,
you know,
Ryan Burrow.
He doesn't play.
Right.
Cuz he's more realistic. Well,
right.
He's been out today covering it for ABC and for us, and he came in, it's cold, and I said, you know, I really hope there's no winner tonight, because I'm really enjoying, I know I'm not going to win, I'm enjoying pretending I'm going to win. So it'll be kind of a drag if someone wins tonight.
Well, I think there are 56 combinations for the 56 people in this pool. So we have 56, we got, I don't know how odds work. I really have no idea. Do I have a 56th better chance than
no.
a... Come
no.
on!
It's such a small... I mean, it's obviously... It's a decimal. I was kidding before, but I'm not kidding. It is 0.000, and you can just keep on walking for days saying 0.000. That's what you've increased your odds by.
So maybe you could start with a remedial math class if you win. By the way, the Texas Lottery has tweeted out that if there's not a winner tonight, it will be a $2 billion prize on Saturday.
Without a doubt.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. I'm so nervous. Jim, you remember the story that Bill was talking about where everybody kind of beat the lottery system?
Yes, I do. I think it was actually an Australian group, and they sent people over to the United States.
Right.
And I think they went to like Kentucky or Tennessee. And they, I don't think they picked every combo. They mathematically determined the best combos to pick.
No, no, no. They thought originally that they had every combo, but then they realized after all was said and done that there was a whole bunch of numbers that they didn't play.
Well, they had a certain, they spent several million dollars.
Right.
But they ended up splitting it with two other people who simply got quick picks. So they didn't win the whole, they won money, but they didn't win the whole pot for themselves.
They still made a profit, right?
Yeah, they still made some money, and then it was outlawed after that or something. Because they were tying up all these lottery lines because they had people in line for like an hour buying tickets.
And that was that about 20 years ago, roughly, somewhere in there?
It probably about that long, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, obviously, it didn't pay off or somebody would be doing it more frequently than 20 years ago.
With this one, that's what I was thinking is there must be some program that you could work because you could buy tickets online. There must be something you could do to make your program work fast. You would need several million dollars at your disposal to do this, but if the payoff is $1 billion...
Well, here's the thing. I think Steve mentioned that there's 292 million combinations. I did spend $292 million on this.
Oh,
so
you
if
have?
I win $1.5 billion, I'm still going to come out ahead.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm glad you remember, Jim. Thank you.
Although you remember it a little differently.
Slightly different. He threw in Australian people.
Lou, you're in Bill's boat, and your boat is sinking fast. Can I tell you that?
Well, I'm not sure I'm in Bill's boat, but I'm just saying if you bought every single lottery number out there, you only have control of the numbers you bought. If there's someone sitting in Kansas City or Detroit or something like that that just goes into a lottery place and picks his own numbers and happens to pick the same ones that you have,
yeah,
that lottery prize gets slashed in halves or thirds or quarters or whatever.
Who cares? I'll split it with anybody.
What if 1,000 people win?
It's $1.5 billion. You do the math because I can't.
What if everyone picked the winning number?
Then we'd all get how much? How many people are in the world?
That can't happen. None of this can happen.
Oh, yeah.
You're fun at Thanksgiving, aren't you?
I am. All right. So listen to me. How many people are in? This is just in the United States, correct? Or only in some states?
There's about 320 million people in the country.
And this isn't in every state.
No, it's not.
So what's the population of all the people in the states that play Powerball? Because why don't we just split it? Everybody? Everybody in?
Going back to remedial math.
So your plan is to have everybody in on a split. You want everybody playing to just admit that we'll split the money evenly.
Are there 1.5 billion people playing?
No.
Well, then come on. What do we all get?
When radio people
we get
talk
a million?
Numbers, here we go.
Thank you, Lou.
Do you know who I want to win it? The kicker for the Minnesota Vikings.
That would be nice.
No, he doesn't deserve
it. He's had a rough week.
Too bad. He still makes more money than most people.
Let Blair Walsh win it. I want that guy to win it.
I want to know by the end of the show how many people are playing, and then let's just all split it.
What if the guy who wins it, this happens every once in a while, somebody will win a lottery, and then they discover that he's not old enough to get the prize. What if the winner is 16?
I've never heard that.
That just happened like 3 weeks ago somewhere.
Yeah, there was a case where, well, was it... It happened, someone who made
a state lottery
shot,
right?
Or something. Was
was that what it was? I just remember somebody did something amazing.
It was a half-court shot, basketball shot, and he was supposed to win a trip and stuff.
And he wasn't old enough?
Yeah. Oh. But they ended up giving him something anyway. But here's the thing. If a 16-year-old has played it, give it to your parent to turn it in.
Right. Solid advice.
And then good luck getting the money from your parent, because they'll go, you know how much you owe me?
Right. I know.
All right, we have time for one more. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, Bill? I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you, Tim.
We're going to win. Did you play?
Yeah. Tim, hopefully you can share it.
See? Everybody shares.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a story in Business Insider talking about exactly what you're talking about. They actually looked into playing it, you know, playing all the combinations. You can actually do it. The problem would be filling out the cards. You have to actually fill out all the different numbers. And also the fact that you would more than likely split it. The odds are that someone else would win because there's been like 2 billion tickets played.
But
so,
couldn't you design, you could probably, if you were this into it, you could design some computer program to quickly.
I'm sure somebody's already done that. There's an app for that, I'm sure.
There'd have to be, right?
As far as what, getting.
Well, you can't just go into a 7-Eleven and go, all right, I want the numbers to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now I want them to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9. You can't do it that way, but you could design some computer program that just does all the numbers. So you could just say to the lottery, look, here's my program, plug it in, all the numbers, here's my money, I'm done.
But that's cheating.
I was going to say, I don't think the lottery would let you do that.
Oh.
That's how you would do it, I'm sure. Yeah,
I bet there's something in the rules in the fine print that
says
you
can't do that.
If you've figured out any
system that beats us, you're not allowed
you're
to
exempt.
Win. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they said the net win would be something like $400 million, but you already have to have $500 million to play all the
combinations. That's a good point. There's the rub, isn't it?
There's always a catch.
Damn it. Tim, how much did you play, just out of curiosity? And you don't have to tell us, but I'm just wondering.
We played $10, and I'm also in a couple pools. My wife's in a pool, and I'm in a pool.
God, I hope we win.
Can you see someone going to a loan officer? Okay, look, I've got this plan. I need $500 million.
Right.
But it's guaranteed.
I'm going to be on Shark Tank tonight trying to sell them on my idea.
Yeah, Mark Cuban might do that.
Maybe. He's got it on him.
What if somebody like Mark Cuban wins? Won't you just be mad as hell?
Yeah. No rich people should be allowed to win.
That'd be pretty bad.
What if Trump wins? Oh, my God, you guys. What if Trump wins?
That would be interesting.
Oh, Tim, good luck to you, okay?
Yeah, thank you, too.
Bye, Tim.
Can you even imagine that?
No. No.
I think it would be so funny. I'd be so mad, and I'd move. I'd never come back to
this
the United
would be the
States
one.
Again.
This would be
yeah.
It. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a lot of show coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Paul Lisnick joins us right now to talk about last night's State of the Union address.
Oh, that was on?
That was on last night.
And the Hawks?
Yep.
And the getting ready to win the Powerball?
All in one night.
Too much in one night, Paul.
And what were you guys watching? Which one?
Blackhawks. Sorry.
Paul, I'm a bad American. I was playing tennis last night, came back. I know. And then I watched some clips of it, but
you
I didn't get to see.
You made me feel so guilty that I was going to watch the Blackhawks,
I'm
and
sorry.
You were going to sit there watching the State of the Union.
I feel bad. I'll watch the next
one. Well, I covered the State of the Union, so you didn't have to.
You're the best.
Thank you, Paul.
You're a good man, Paul. Paul,
what did we miss?
Yeah, give us some highlights.
Well, we're attacking Russia. No, I'm kidding. Here's what the president didn't do. He did not set out an agenda of all sorts of legislative priorities he has. And he even said at the beginning, he said, I'm not going to do that. He said, because I know a lot of you are all ready to get back to Iowa, which got a chuckle from the crowd.
Right.
He knows he's in a presidential year. He knows he can't accomplish anything. I wouldn't mind anything much. I thought what was really sort of historic and different was he spent the last good portion of the address talking about the dysfunction in Washington and the partisan politics. Very unusual for a president to address it in a State of the Union, but it really does define the problems he has had throughout the course of his entire presidency and why he could not accomplish more.
And Paul,
I think part of bringing it up was to basically say, let's hope a future president doesn't face this.
The interesting part of that is you're doing it in a room filled with the people that you're criticizing. Right?
Well, it's the best place to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Think about it. But you're also doing it in a place where there's some sort of expectation of decorum. And so, right, it's not like a rally or anything like that where there's going to be screaming and yelling, though he's faced a little of those comments over the years. But basically, this was his podium and his chance to say what he had on his mind.
I know there's been some criticism because as far as last night's speech went, he painted America as being in a pretty good place right now. And there's a lot of people who say he was kind of over-glorifying the country, was he?
Well, you got to pick your topic on that, Bill. So, for example, he basically gave a very positive view of the economy and the economic situation. And I think there's a fair amount of evidence to support, and he gave some stats and statistics that support what he's saying. The Republican view would be it's not true, things are terrible, and people don't have the kinds of jobs that they want. But I think he was in a stronger position to talk about that than when he started speaking very strongly about the state of the country in terms of terrorist attacks, those kind of things. When he said the right words, America is the strongest power on this planet, period. I mean, he said very strong language that Democrats love to hear. Republican sense of this was the guy is out of touch with reality. Things are not good. They're not strong. So he probably faced more of a challenge to the veracity of what he was saying when he talked about his view of the foreign policy component than perhaps the economic view.
How do you think, I mean, right now he does have a year left, and as you pointed out, his hands are tied, although many people have said his hands have been tied for the last 7 years. So having his hands tied isn't the newest thing for him. But how do you think in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, people will look back at his presidency?
Well, you know, interestingly, one of the things he did say at the beginning of the address was, I'm not talking about this year. I want to talk about the next 5 years, the next 10 years. So he is thinking about not only the legacy, but the direction the country goes in the coming years. You don't get a perspective on a president's presidency until you're about 20 years out. So it's 20 years from now, you guys will still be hosting this show.
Sure.
I'll come on with you.
All right.
And when we look back at him, my personal sense will be, and this is, I try and say this from a neutral perspective, because Republicans will say he's going to go down as one of the worst ever, and Democrats will say one of the best ever. I think he will be seen very positively by history, because the Health Care Act, which I think no matter what they're talking about is not going to go anywhere, is going to be as critical to our society as Social Security and Medicare. It's got problems, but I don't think it's going anywhere. And his efforts that have produced same-sex marriage and some of these other things, I mean, and gays in the military, those kinds of issues, and I can say others. These are things that there is a lot of disagreement about, and a lot of folks who are against the policy. That's not my comment. My comment is he will be looked back on as history as a period of time in which significant major changes happened to us as a society and to our living as Americans, whether you like them or whether you don't. It's going to stand up as credit to his administration.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that is a great assessment of, you know, years down the road, how we're going to look back at him. And I, you know, believe he seemed like a man who had a heart, who really tried to do things. He did get some things done. The biggest criticism I'm hearing from everyone is that we're not fighting back terrorism as hard as we should or could. What are we supposed to do? Just annihilate every...
No, and he addressed that, but one of the things that I think that, and that's why I said he was a bit, you know, that's a little more questionable in terms of what he talked about. Remember, he's the same president who said that ISIS was the JV team, right? So he clearly misjudged them or underestimated them earlier on, and now his strong language gives some people pause to say, really, why did you misjudge the nature of the threat? But clearly now he does understand the nature of the threat. By the way, a couple of other things. People raise the question, why didn't he bring this little brief Iranian crisis that we had, right, of our sailors being taken hostage, not even hostage because they're already released, but for whatever happened last night. And the bottom line was for him to talk about that last night, which some people said he should have. You can argue he should have. But in the State of the Union, it would have elevated that situation to a State of the Union level.
Yeah.
And the truth is we have to believe the administration already had that situation under control. And the proof is it. By the time I woke up this morning, which was early, they were already released.
And this happened in the Persian Gulf, where I believe 10 of our
sailors
were taken hostage, but they were released, as you mentioned, early this morning.
And, you know, some people could raise the question, if we weren't talking to Iran and having some agreement, might this be in a different situation right now? I don't know, and Democrats and Republicans will differ on that. The other thing I thought was really interesting, by the way, clearly he never mentioned the name Donald Trump, but he might as well have, because he had a strong message on, you know, respecting people's backgrounds and religions and all of that.
Yeah.
So that was clear in his address. And then, of course, Nikki Haley, who gave the Republican response. I was halfway through, and I was sitting with Mark Sapelza and Michael Matera, and I said, is she responding to Obama or is she responding to Trump? Because a good portion of her address were all of these Trump issues. So another thing you take out of last night is really how Donald Trump seems to be setting the stage for what the national discussion is right now. And not only are the Democrats aren't happy about it, which should be no surprise in terms of what Trump is saying, but you now see establishment Republicans. And Nikki Haley is no liberal Republican.
Right.
I mean, she's pretty conservative. And here she is basically saying, even as a conservative Republican, this is going too far, and let's pull it back. So Trump was sent a strong message. History would also show us, based on when he gets attacked like that, expect his poll numbers to rise.
I always think that the hardest role in one of these State of the Union addresses is that of the Speaker of the House. So you have Paul Ryan there sitting next to our vice president, sitting next to Joe Biden. And it was in my head, I kept playing back as I was watching the clips last night and again this morning, how those guys went at each other during the vice presidential debates, you know, about 4 years ago. But you have to act as though you're supporting the president, but at the same time, there has to be a glint of, but I'm kind of on the other team on a lot of these issues. What'd you think of Paul Ryan's performance, in quotes, last night?
It's a great question because Paul Ryan addressed it earlier. Paul Ryan says he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he knows that whenever the camera showed him in previous State of the Union addresses, you'd see his negative nod or whatever he was doing. He now understood that as Speaker of the House, he's behind the president, he's on camera 100% of the time during the address, and he knows people are looking for his reaction. So he was very cognizant of not sending reactions, and so as a result, because he... And I'm going to cut him a break on this because he truly tried to sit there and send no cues. We all saw cues. He's smug. He's smirking.
Yeah.
He's doing all that. And the truth is, I think Paul Ryan would say, I wasn't doing any of that. I was trying not to. So I'm going to cut him a break and say that his effort to send no cues, I think, may be getting misread as what message was he trying to send. Because he was very conscious about trying not to send messages.
Interesting. Interesting. Normally with one of these, what happens is immediately thereafter, and you hit on this a little bit already, Paul, everybody on the Democrat side or the majority of them say, yeah, the president did a nice job last night. And most of the people on the Republican side said, yeah, there are a lot of holes in that speech. What was the reaction immediately after and again this morning?
Well, you know, we weren't off set yet, and already the responses or the reactions were coming from presidential candidates. John Kasich sending an immediate release, which said, when I'm giving my eighth address to Congress, I'm going to be pointed. And he went on to talk about, I'm going to point to a strong government and a strong military and all these things. Going, well, yeah, that's what everybody has to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is, if you look at much of what the president said, if you were able to say, without knowing who said it, just read his speech and you put your own candidate in there. You can say Trump said it. You can say Hillary. So whoever you want to put in is saying it. The truth is, I think the president's words were very strong and very powerful. And it was overall a very effective address. Where you start to veer away from that is when you start recognizing who's saying that comment. If you're Republican, you absolutely think I'm already wrong. If you're a Democrat, yes, Paul, you're really right on. My comment, again, I'm neutral on the air, and I attempt to look at these things neutrally. If you just read his speech as it stood and didn't know who said it, it'd be a very impressive State of the Union address with some historic points to it, like the need for Congress to get along and play well in the sandbox with each other.
I told you they should have the band Europe doing the final countdown in the background, that song. It's a final countdown, because he did a decent job for his last State of the Union of his presidential career.
And the last time, Wendy, that he's ever going to likely, unless, God forbid, some kind of crisis happens, the last time he's ever going to have an audience this big in terms of the country watching.
Sure.
So it was a swan song in that respect. And by the way, do you know that the White House chose to stream that address on Snapchat? Wendy, you and I are always going back and forth on Snapchat.
Yes, we are.
and also on Amazon Prime. So this is a White House so cognizant of young people and getting young people involved, which, as you look forward, is probably a good thing for Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side and some of the younger candidates on the Republican side. Young people needing to get involved and making a difference in elections. The White House was trying to reach them last night.
Paul, do you think any of this will come up on Politics Tonight later on at 5:30 and then again at 10 p.m.? Do you think you'll talk about any of this tonight?
I do know whatever comes up at 5:30 will also come up at 10 o'clock because it's going to be a repeat.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be looking at this. We're also going to be taking a look at city council meetings today and some of the happenings in Springfield. And I hope you all got a chance to watch my cover package on WGN the other night, which was a look back at Bruce Rauner's first year and all that got accomplished in Springfield.
Excellent.
And if you haven't, I definitely, because, wow, that was a quick year.
It really was. Hey, no, that's online. I hope people do check it out. That, too, is meant to be kind of a fair and balanced piece, if you will, about what he's accomplished and what Rauner's had to face as well.
Can I ask you, since you brought that up, Paul, very, very quickly, I don't remember an Illinois governor criticizing a Chicago mayor as much as we've heard Rauner do about our mayor in the past week or 10 days or 2 weeks. Is it unusual to have a governor be that critical of a Chicago mayor?
Well, I can't. Here's the thing. Mayor Daley Sr., some of those Mayor Daleys, you wouldn't have had governors going after them because the mayor was more powerful than the governor.
Yeah.
But what I will say is what we're seeing now in terms of the dynamics of Springfield, I will say the state has never seen this kind of situation before, not for this protracted a period of time. And the real unfortunate part, and what I say at the end of the piece, is do not expect this to get resolved before March,
right?
Because at this point people are playing out the primaries, they're not going to commit to anything, and you might even need to wait until November, because remember, Madigan thinks the state is behind him and Rauner thinks the state is behind him. They may truly play this game of chicken unless budgets force them to say we're out of money in certain places, which is already happening. But until November, when essentially people vote and decide who is it, what direction do we want to take as a state?
An unbiased view, Paul Lisnick, political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV. It's so hard to say unbiased, isn't it? I mean, really.
I really do my best. You know, here's the thing. No matter what I say, you get the emails. People hear me saying things I'm not saying, or they say, I know what you are. I've been called conservative. I've been called liberal. I'm attacked from all ends, no matter what I say. I really do my best to try and see things from all perspectives, the right, the left, and do my best to present it as neutral. Because I want people to make up their own minds about what this is.
Yep.
Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say. People hear what they hear.
Paul, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great new year.
Thank you, Bill. And you too.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
bye.
Paul. See you on Snapchat.
You guys go back and forth on Snapchat a lot?
Yeah, we do.
Sure. How could you not? We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about other things. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're very Eurotrash today in our musical
rejoins.
Did
you notice that, too?
Yeah.
Is that bad or good?
I don't know. Kevin, are you going to go discotheking tonight?
I don't even know how to address that.
Yeah, I don't really either. We have some texts, 312-981-7200. The State of the Union, Barack Obama's final State of the Union address last night. And someone said, 269, after 5 minutes, I closed the right-hand door of the TV cabinet, so just Paul Ryan's right ear showed.
Oh,
that helped.
I guess you have that option if you have a cabinet that allows that sort of thing. Good.
847, look at it this way. Bush took office with an economic surplus and the Middle East quiet in relative peace. Obama came in with the economy in free fall, a huge and growing deficit, raging war, and high unemployment. So are things now better or worse? That is a great question.
You know, if you look at the very worst that we were economically, I guess that would have been probably 5 or 6 years ago when things were at their absolute worst, when there were more problems with jobs than any other time. And analysts were saying at the time, this will more than likely take 10, 15, or maybe 20 years to dig out of. It was that bad.
Did it take that long to get into it?
No. Oh, no. It happened very fast to get into it. But to get out of it, they were saying you're looking at a decade and a half, or 2 decades before things get back to where they used to be. And it didn't take anywhere near that long. A lot of that had to do with the bank bailouts. And people have said, mostly on the Republican side, but not exclusively, oh, if I was Obama, if I was sitting in his chair, I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have done those bailouts. You had to do.
And it's easy to say that because you're not sitting in that chair.
Right. Right.
Who wants to be president, really? Other than Trump,
who
I don't even believe he wants to be president. I just want him. I just think he wants to go, see, I could have done it if I wanted it. Now I'm bailing.
You're not the only one who feels that way. Other people have said that. I can't imagine going through what he's going through. Not that I feel sorry for him in any way, but it takes a lot just to run for the presidency. But you're right. If somebody offered me the presidency, which will probably not happen, there's no way in the world I would want to be the president.
No way.
No, you can't win.
I just like to be a sheep.
Just a sheep. All right.
I couldn't be a manager. I cannot delegate tasks because I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I feel like no one's going to do it the way I want it done. Not necessarily the wrong way,
right. Just
not the way I want it done.
Sure. I get that.
630 says, yeah, Mr. Obama is great. My insurance goes up 157% because of the Affordable Care Act. Another 4% this year. Real affordable there, Mr. President. Everyone's health insurance went up.
I know that some people overall, not just because the year changed and the rules changed for insurance, but some people are going to end up paying more for their insurance, and some people are going to pay less for their insurance. It's a flawed system, obviously.
It is totally flawed. I thought, you know, wasn't it brought up to do away with health insurance and then you could just comparison shop with doctors?
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't to get rid of insurance. There always is going to be insurance.
But to give you more options, you mean in terms of insurance, Wendy?
Well,
what do you mean?
I just mean that, you know, with insurance, you can't shop around to find the best price. It's just whatever's covered in your plan.
Steve, go on.
Well, but you can shop around, Wendy, to find different insurance plans. So you can go on the healthcare
right.
Marketplace or places like that and try to by your own insurance.
And
right.
Steve, there's some sort of a la carte system, though, isn't there, to some extent? you can pick and choose a little bit on what you want and don't want, can't you?
On procedures or no? I don't know
on
about
plans.
That,
yes, but not you can't. If insurance wasn't around, and I'm not saying anyone was talking about this happening, but this has been a discussion that I've heard. You know, the insurance companies jack things up. If there wasn't insurance and you could just go from doctor to doctor and say, okay, I need this procedure. Let me see your credentials. What would you charge?
Right.
It would bring the cost of medical procedures down.
Maybe, but it would bring your cost way up.
Yeah, I guess that's
true.
But
I mean, you're right. I mean, because there's so much money hidden in it, and there are things that happen because insurance is covering it. We, as consumers, pay for things that we wouldn't. If we
but
didn't
now
have
we,
insurance,
we
right.
have
I mean?
Insurance right. available through the employer, which is great, but we're still paying into it.
Right.
It's not like it's free. But so can we still shop around even though, and
yes.
I mean, okay, so
oh,
anyone,
can.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
In fact, your company would love it if you did because then they wouldn't have to contribute their share to your insurance.
But Gian's rules are weird because I have to go in, I get a physical twice a year, and Judy Pilek gives it to me. That doesn't seem right to me.
You got the low tier, didn't you?
I did. Yes, I did. All right. Let's,
she got the high tier. I'll tell you
so.
That.
I don't understand.
She gets
it.
To examine you
I don't
with
understand.
Her crazy doctor, her Halloween costume.
Yeah, she puts on a doctor's Halloween costume.
It is not a doctor's mask, by
That's
the way.
A,
it's very uncomfortable.
No, it's an evil scientist or right. mad scientist, which she is.
It's such an uncomfortable hour and a half. All right, let's take a break. We've got news and then a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Prim and proper, that's what we're going to be instead of Bill and Wendy right now.
Boy, Hannah and Dane are here from Flavor HD, and are they ever going to class this show up? Hi, Hannah. Hi, Dane. How are you?
Hi. I do want to make a quick comment, though. I've been hearing you guys talking about the Powerball and how, you know, a big portion of the staff was included in the Powerball. I was not. And,
oh.
And so I hope you guys win, because that means I can work.
Right.
I already asked Cochran if I could have the afternoon shift.
Oh,
so.
That was easy?
Yeah. I just thought I'd
All right.
mention that.
I quit my job.
Don't ask, don't care.
No, which is good. You and I will co-host. That'll All be fine. Because I was like, did you guys sign contracts that you'll actually show up tomorrow? Because otherwise,
that's a lot.
It's going to be like me and Noonan doing Rochambeau for like who goes on next.
Rochambeau,
yeah, this afternoon.
Rock paper, I thought so.
Rock paper scissors. Yeah.
Oh. Also, a fancy way of calling it.
It's also a UFC
we're
fighter.
We're yes, very fancy today.
Boy, you are. The topic today. Explain exactly what brought this on.
So this is, well, a need for content was first and foremost,
sure.
but this is the final season of Downton Abbey,
oh,
which
no.
premiered 2 weeks ago on PBS.
Did you ever watch it, Bill?
No.
Me neither.
Okay.
Nope.
It
a lot
has
of people
been,
love it.
I adore it. It's fantastic. It's really, really compelling. And it is the most successful PBS series ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And there's 6 episodes left. So.
It's kind of like Fast and the Furious, right? If you've ever seen that. Is it similar to that?
I never know when to
carriage
believe
chases.
You.
In that there's no vehicles. There's,
right.
And they call
Gas
them,
lamp explosions.
And when,
right.
and when cars did come into vogue, they were then called motos.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't realize
yes.
that.
Shall we call the moto?
So to celebrate the sad ending of Downton Abbey, what are we going to be doing?
Well, wait, before we get there, yeah. Hannah has moved this date to celebrate this date because of the commitment to both. It's her birthday today.
I knew
oh,
that.
Happy
birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday,
Thank
Hannah.
You. So this has been my dream to have a proper British tea on my birthday.
Oh.
So that's what we're sort of
we're
doing.
We're finally getting that done.
Thank God.
I'm not a tea drinker, but I want to be, I think.
I think you should. And I think that this is a little bit of a sampling. And first and foremost, what I did is I brought in actual teacups, which was this is the way to experience tea because it doesn't fight with the flavors. When
Bill,
you have
let me see you hold it because you're going to look silly.
Porcelain or china.
He holds it with two hands.
China is porcelain. That's okay. But that way it does not compete with the flavoring of the teas.
Right.
As would a red solo cup.
Oh, I get it. All right. That seems fair.
That's sweet tea. That's totally different.
All right. So for a long time, tea was considered to be a very upper crust drink. And then all of a sudden, the masses jumped on board and everybody drinks it. Everybody loves it. What was the change? What happened?
It is the most popular drink throughout the world.
Is
tea
it?
In general.
More
it absolutely
than coffee is.
Without question. It
More
laps,
than Yoo-hoo?
It laps coffee. God, it no. scoffs at coffee. And Yoo-hoo is a close third.
All right.
So this is... Yeah. So what it, but British, the English, and especially the British aristocrats mm-hmm. very much celebrated having tea throughout the day. And an afternoon tea was what we kind of all think of as tea time.
It was like a break in their day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like a siesta.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. They would also have, they had the ability to have it throughout the day, especially the aristocrats who had staff to prepare that for them. But it, you know, so often, and you even said it, where have you ever gone to high tea? High tea is not actually what we think of. It's more of a considered a low tea or an afternoon tea because they ate it and they drank it on low couches. Like a normal size couch. High tea was up on a higher chair.
So like a bunk bed.
And high tea, I had asked you about. I had not heard anything about it. And I have some family members who are a little older than I am.
Yeah.
Not by much. But yeah. They're a little girlier than I am. And they adore it. And I have two boys. I have friends who have daughters and have done it and love it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really become very popular.
And we're actually going to be joined in the next segment by someone who can speak about this far more eloquently from the Palm Court at the Drake, where they do
That's where everybody goes.
Yep. That's where everybody goes.
And not only do they have the high tea there, so they'll be able to talk about kind of the circumstance, the food that goes along with it, the process, but also they've got a tea club too. So Wendy's, as you say, you aspire to be a tea person. They've got a group of people where you and other aspirers can get together.
What do I put in it? You brought honey and milk.
Milk is very, very British. Honey sweetens it, and it wasn't really to their palate. Some would use a very thin slice of lemon, but you never, never put milk and lemon together, and that's why I don't have lemon, because it curdles the milk.
That's it.
The acid curdles the milk, right. And that would just turn everybody off.
I'm trying milk in my tea. I've never in my life done this,
very British.
Very high-end.
You need to speak, then, with a slight accent.
I liked it better without the milk.
It doesn't work with the milk?
Try some honey.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the things that they did. Uh-oh. But to make it more of an actual tea event, you have to have things that go along with it. And I've brought scones. Mark Sievers has been testing scone recipes, and I have that recipe. I will have it up on our Facebook page, and I'm going to send it right now to Kevin.
Would you agree with me, Hannah? Scones are something of an acquired taste. Like the first few times you have scones, you go, well, they forgot to sprinkle flavor on the scone, but it's not that way.
Moisture.
It depends, depends on the scone. It depends on the scone.
Is that right?
So try this one.
Oh, I had some. I love this.
Good.
Very good.
Can I tell you, milk and honey and tea is pretty awesome?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Isn't that a song?
And if it's done in a refined setting, you know, maybe with some nice music, maybe some ambiance, some cool surroundings. But I get you, Bill. As soon as you taste a scone for the first time, the first thought that comes to mind is this isn't a Little Debbie.
Right.
No.
Put something flavory on it.
But again, we're going back to a period of time where sugar wasn't everything. I mean, we didn't have sugar and everything. And these were people who were eating tiny bites throughout the day.
That was my nickname.
Says
and
it in your
so
book.
What I have brought in today are fig and cream scones. The recipe is already posted at marksievers.com. And again, I will put that link up with Kevin and
tiny
myself.
Bites.
And flavor
I love it.
I have a tea-related question for you.
Sure.
Really?
I'm not much of a tea drinker. I usually only have it when I have a sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks ago, Wendy, you heard this, I had a terrible sore throat.
Yeah.
And everybody said, you got to get some tea and you got to get some honey. Well, I went with decaffeinated tea because I try to avoid caffeine, but even decaffeinated tea makes me really, really jumpy. What's in there that's doing that?
Caffeine.
To me? Even
there's still caffeine. There's
still caffeine.
There still is in decaffeinated?
Yeah.
There's still
way
caffeine.
Less.
The only ones that you're going to find are like a truly herbal tea or a more floral tea.
Yeah.
That would not have it. But if you're going with any sort of a decaffeinated black tea, even a green tea, a white tea, those will still have caffeine. They don't remove all of it. It's...
That doesn't seem right. If you're calling it decaffeinated, it should be without
caffeine.
Okay, so
it should be called undercaffeinated.
Yeah, that would be more accurate.
Lightly caffeinated.
Lightly
I mean, there's
caffeinated.
A way to say it to make
right.
it still good.
And you know who's into tea these days?
Everybody.
The teenagers, though.
Yeah, that's
that
a thing.
Is like a very trendy thing.
It's a hipster.
It's more so than the Starbucks they used to hang out at. Now it's like they'll
tea
go
shops.
To... Yeah.
Yeah,
is
and tea
right?
shops are really popping up everywhere, and you can buy really good, flavorful, incredibly aromatic teas a lot of different places.
When I go to the store, like when I went in, because I don't usually buy it, and then I went in to find a kind with honey and lemon in it.
Throat coat. I couldn't find
That's
it either
That's what everybody
recently.
Said. I finally found it. It didn't do anything for me, but everybody else talked very highly of it.
It's called throat coat?
Yeah,
throat
it's like
Jiffy Lube.
I think it's fantastic.
It didn't affect me at all. I don't know why, but I was amazed to see. I went to two different places, and they had easily 125 different kinds my guess would have been there's probably 10 different kinds of tea.
Sleepy
but
time.
Were, there was every two words, put any two words in the English language together,
Nest
and
tea,
that was a kind of
plunge.
Tea.
No,
Powerball winning tea. Yep.
As I mentioned, it is the number one beverage throughout the world. And so this is something that they have these huge plantations where they're, you know, developing new flavors and new combinations. This is something that I actually was down at Disney World a few years ago and spoke with the executive chef.
Yeah.
And that's something that they're exploring because they want to be more inclusive of their guests' preferences.
Sure.
So he sent me home with like all kinds of different teas to test that they've been testing in the parks and in their resorts. And this is also, I've actually, you said Sleepy Time, which is celestial seasoning.
That's a real kind, right?
Which is in Boulder, Colorado. And if anybody happens to be going out there, it's one of the most interesting tours you're going to take.
Despite the name Sleepy Time.
Is the celestial seasonings factory.
And in Colorado now, high tea means something different.
Totally different.
Absolutely.
It really always has, but now they talk about it.
Hannah's here. Oh, go on, Dane. What were you going to say?
Well, we have on the show and with the features talked about a lot of different teas. Of course, we know Nest Tea with the plunge. And, of course, just your regular Lipton teas. We've talked
Salada,
about the loose leaf teas that you have at Teavana. And then we've even had the people in from Bello Tea to make matcha tea.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what is that? I don't know what that is.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a Japanese, like, finely ground kind of powdered tea.
They do it with a whisk.
Yeah.
Like a very,
it's kind of frothy
whisk.
And whiskey.
We had it. It was good.
Yeah,
it's so different than this. So tea can take on, you know, many different shapes and forms. And I think the most refined one we're going to learn about in just a little bit.
All right, good.
And Teavana, by the way, you were saying places that you can find tea. Teavana is local. It was made famous by Oprah. It was on one of her favorite things. And I think has since been at least a partnership with Starbucks. But you can still find it here. And it's really, they have great stuff.
Excellent.
Hannah, how
did
she say
that? I'm done with my tea.
Teavana!
I have honey all over me and the cup, the
tea
cup.
But you did before you came in. Like when you came in this morning, you had that all over you.
Remember that Ohio Players record cover?
Yes, that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
I remember that. All right, Hannah's here and Dana's here from Flavor HD. We're talking tea. Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking tea with Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD.
What's strange tea music?
This is
psychedelic.
Oh, this is from the Ohio Players Honey album that
okay,
I was featured on because I spilled
just
it all
checking.
Over myself.
Just, there we go. All righty.
There is
now
a lot
I'm
of honey
it.
In the studio all of a sudden.
I'm so used to the Downton Abbey theme when
honey
in my brain when I think about high tea or low tea or afternoon tea or morning tea or
honey,
tea.
Don't. Happy birthday again, Hannah.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of
you. Dane, you guys have brought a guest with you.
Well, when you think about it, we've talked a little bit about the different forms that tea can take. Hannah mentioned the most popular drink in the world, but when it gets to its highest form, its most refined form, especially here in Chicago, probably all around the country, nobody does it better than the Drake Hotel and the Palm Court. They have not only high tea, which is something that you need to experience at least once.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it's amazing, as well as the tea club for people who are aspiring tea enthusiasts like Wendy and myself. Got to get out there, and we've got Amy Verdon. She is behind so much of what happens at Palm Court. Welcome,
hi
Amy.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's tea month.
It is tea month.
Happy tea month to you.
Happy
and yours.
Thank you.
I'm staying at Mr. T's chalet the entire month. We're having a
I'm a teetotaler.
Yes.
Really?
Amy, was there
sometimes
any thought early
like
on
tea.
from a like a sponsorship marketing spokesperson to engage with Mr. T and get him involved?
I think we should definitely try and get him involved in some way.
I pity the fool that doesn't enjoy chamomile. I pity him.
A more perfect representative for tea, Mr. T himself.
That's your guy.
Tea.
We were all trying to figure out how this became the drink of the masses. Mm-hmm. Why is it the most popular drink in the world?
Well, I think that it appeals to everyone because the experience of drinking it is so relaxing. It appeals to different kinds of people. So even though you like caffeine or non-caffeinated, all tea is actually caffeinated. So if you're drinking tea, it does have caffeine.
More so, I've heard sometimes, than some other drinks that you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Right. But just the experience of having it, you know, it's so relaxing. You can put so many different things in it. And so, and there's so many different kinds of tea. It's not like, oh, there's coffee and then there's coffee with
milk
coffee. In it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of different flavors. So it's very eclectic.
So when it comes to high tea and the tea experience at the Palm Court, I mean, this is something that's legendary around mm-hmm. Chicago. So talk about it. What makes it so special?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I had actually been at the Drake for 12 years, and then I started this position, so I had actually never had afternoon tea at the hotel before this.
Hmm.
So I came in and I said, okay, I'm going to have the real experience. You know, I'm going to come when the harpist is on. I'm going to enjoy myself.
There's a harpist.
There's a harpist. Oh, it's so delightful.
And it's
people,
very proper.
They really, really enjoy the harpist. You have to come when the harpist is playing. So I sat down and I enjoyed the whole thing. So it's just an elevated, leisurely, beautiful experience. And it kind of really, it seems like you're really fancy.
Yeah.
But you
and you're
have
kind
to
of
be.
Like you're not really playing pretend. You get to actually do it. Like you, it's the upstairs of Downton Abbey. You're mm-hmm. experiencing what it's like to live in the upstairs, and you're waited upon by very excellent servers, the best in the city, I would say.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful, wonderful experience. The room is gorgeous. I mean, if you haven't been there, it's stunning.
And guys can go too, can't they? Because I know
no
girls,
real men
no.
drink tea.
They do because as a little girl, yeah, even I wanted to have a tea party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would invite the neighborhood boys, because I hung out with them, to the tea party, and they partook in a tea party.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that is not globally the favorite drink of women. It's definitely something that they can experience. Who doesn't want to feel slightly fancy and mm-hmm. elevated?
Bill.
Yeah,
well, okay,
me.
But aside from him, and I can speak to the service because we had a friend's bridal shower during a tea service,
nice.
And it was so
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. It was so perfect.
It is the best place to have a bridal or baby shower.
It was just really nice.
And is there a dress code for this?
Yes, it's,
there is.
It's smart casual.
Oh, okay.
So nice
We're
jeans.
Out.
Glasses.
We don't even know what smart
casual is.
Come from
the beach and sit down and enjoy yourself as much as that would be nice. It's smart casual, so no jeans. And if they are jeans, they need to be fancy jeans.
Oh.
Everything needs to be fancy.
Bedazzled.
Well,
right.
And you talk about the amazing surroundings, of mm-hmm. course, that you have there at the Drake and the teas and the harpist. I mean, mm-hmm. that sounds amazing. But also, you guys have the food that pairs. Hannah brought mm-hmm. in some scones today, but you guys have some great food that mm-hmm. matches and pairs with the teas.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a selection of seasonal finger sandwiches. So, of course, they're the small ones, exactly what you would imagine.
No
crusts. Not made of fingers, Bill.
No,
so
no,
no,
I get that.
No crusts.
No crusts.
No crusts. And some
really? The crusts are cut off?
Well, yes, that's a proper yeah. finger sandwich.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a finger
Wendy,
sandwich.
Don't embarrass us.
Can you tell how classy I am?
I mean, no crusts.
I love it because it's so delicate, mm-hmm. and you just have one, and you feel dainty, right?
Yeah.
And then
one's not enough, though.
No, but then you have another, but nobody really judges you because they don't know. I mean,
they're small.
They're tiny.
We don't judge you for
sandwiches.
Asking for more finger sandwiches.
Amy,
we
do,
and they're
been.
Like cucumber and cream cheese, and it's so yummy.
Oh, that is good.
I've never been there, but I imagine that there are also black currant preserves nearby for some weird reason. Are there?
Black currant yes.
Yeah, that's what I imagine in a scenario like this.
And
that
jams
would have
and
the,
jellies.
There's
yeah,
all kinds of
there
jams. There's preserves. There's Devonshire cream.
Well, of course.
There's
what
lemon
is that?
Curds.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You put that on your face
it's
when
like
you
cream cheese,
yeah.
light.
You could eat it out of the bowl.
It's,
in fact, if I were not in public, I would be able to do that.
No, I think I have in public.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. It's very sweetened cream. Like, it's a cream cheese consistency mm-hmm. texture, but it's very, very sweet. And it's oh god, it's like butter
like
and cream cheese had a baby.
And cream cheese had a baby.
Yes, oh. yes, and but sweet. Oh god, it's good.
Well,
so good.
They now, got married first, Dane. Don't get nervous.
I don't want to be judgmental. Now we know that it is great. But it's also great year-round, right? It happens mm-hmm. at different times during the week, but this is something that's going on all the time over there.
Yes, absolutely. We have afternoon tea all time of the year, especially our most popular time is during holiday tea.
Sure.
The Drake is a very traditional hotel, so we have very traditional decorations all throughout the hotel. And people come. It is a tradition for people. Families will say, we have been coming for 10 years to come to your holiday tea. You know, we've got carolers, we've got festivities, and it's really a special time. But we do have it all year round.
My cousins go every year and they mm-hmm. love it. I have yet to go with them, but maybe I will. 847 says, you mentioned, Amy, that all tea is caffeinated, even floral and herbal teas. Can you clarify?
So the herbal teas are not caffeinated. So that's what I'm saying. If it's called a tea, then it is caffeinated. But if it is an herbal tea, then it doesn't have to. It has low or no caffeine.
All right.
630 says if you're using china for tea, don't forget to rinse the teacup with hot water before pouring in the tea. This helps keep the tea hot. Mm. Any truth to that?
You know what? Yes.
Have you ever done it?
It's not personally, but I see all of these things happen.
There is another thing I read, too, which I found super interesting, is that traditionally they would always keep a pot of heated water off to the side. So if the tea steeped and became too strong, they could dilute it, but it never dropped the temperature.
Interesting.
Those people had it going on.
Oh, yep. I know.
So that's what I'll do if mm-hmm. I have If I win.
Now, we've talked a lot about how
proper tea every day.
Proper, elevated, all of those things. But I was surprised with talking to people who've done it that it's very, it's affordable. This is something that everybody can get out there and enjoy.
What would something like this, where you could get it done for under $1,000 a person?
Bill's like, how much is it going to be to get into some tea?
We have a great program. It's only $42 per person.
That's not bad at all.
And it's an hour and a half experience with a harpist in a beautiful room.
Yeah.
And lovely tea sandwiches, scones, the whole nine yards.
Sounds good. It sounds really good.
I'm sorry, I'm eating a scone right now.
Yummy, right?
I'm going to make these.
That is a fig and cream scone, and that recipe is up on the
really good.
Facebook page and Mark Siever's website.
And our Facebook
and your
page.
Facebook page, yes.
If people want to arrange some sort of a reservation to attend high tea there at the Drake Hotel at the Palm Court, what do they need to do?
Oh, they can call directly to the hotel, directly to the Palm Court. They can also contact myself. My name is Amy Verdon. I'm the hospitality manager there. Mm-hmm. And you can contact me, and I'm happy to take reservations. Or they can just call the hotel, and usually if they can get through to the Palm Court, if not, they can always speak to the operator, and they can also take reservations.
Good. Very good. Thanks, guys. We appreciate this.
And we're going to have more and kind of an expanded kind of showcase and feature on this up at Flavor HD on the WGN Plus, too.
Good. We look forward to seeing that. It's Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD and Amy Verdon from the Palm Court at the Drake Hotel.
Put your pinky up when you're saying that.
Of course
I
will.
No, that's not a thing.
That's pretentious.
Nobody does that anymore.
That's not
It's funny the tea people are saying that's pretentious.
That's right.
I've done research. Don't do that.
You go to tea jail, Wendy. Don't do it. Thanks, guys. Happy birthday, Hannah. News is next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you so much, Kim. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We're 312-981-7200. Before we get into anything else, I just want to say I thought for my whole life that I was imagining the fact that even drinking decaffeinated tea, like 3 seconds into my system, my body just starts to vibrate anytime I have tea. And I go, but how can this be? If it's decaffeinated, it doesn't make sense. But now we've learned that even decaffeinated tea still has caffeine in it.
I think what we've learned today, Bill, is trust no one.
Trust no one.
Because, you know, when I was pregnant the 2 times that I was, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I didn't even have those Odules. Because
the non-alcoholic beer?
But it's not non-alcoholic. There's like a tiny percentage of alcohol in there.
Is there really?
So you have to be careful of what you do. Even decaf coffee, I wonder if there's not a hair of caffeine, and some people are very sensitive to caffeine.
Right.
Others of us can have a pot of coffee and go to sleep. It just affects different people different ways. But you seem to be very sensitive to it, and herbal teas do not have it, but you have to go pick up the next time you're at a grocery store, pick up one of the tea things, even the one that says, you know, decaffeinated or whatever.
Right.
And just be careful. Check your labels.
They lie to us. I went to see Neverending Story, and it ended. So I'm still... I'm still furious about that. All right, they have changed the rules in the state. You know Wisconsin, which is over there? There's Wisconsin.
It is that
it's
way.
It's right over there, north of us. They have now changed the rules for cheering and chanting things at sporting events.
Because of the Packers?
Actually, no. That's what I thought originally, too, is this must have something to do with the Green Bay Packers. Congratulations, Kim, by the way.
Don't blame the Packers. Come on.
This had nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers. But, Kim, I was thinking about you as Aaron Rodgers brought the team from what surely looked like collapse to victory.
Oh, my God. When they scored the safety, I was like, this is going to be a long game.
They're pretty good, the Packers.
Kim, are you from Wisconsin? Because, no, you're not, are
you? No, my husband was born and grew up in Green Bay.
All right, that explains
it. So you were not a fan of the Packers until he came along, correct?
Well, I really wasn't a fan of pro football in general because growing up in Kentucky, there were no pro football teams, obviously. So, you know, might as well just hop on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
There's no Kentucky team?
No professional team.
College is huge in Kentucky, but there are no professional teams. So the closest is either Indianapolis or Cincinnati and Nashville. Yeah.
I never realized, you know, can I just say something about Wisconsin? I have a dear friend, Lisa Nelson. She writes for Tim Allen's show, Last Man Standing. She is a huge Packer fan. Same reason her dad was from Wisconsin. So she just really followed that passion and that love. And other than that, I've been to Lake Geneva and, I used to go to Wisconsin to drink underage when, you know, Illinois people, you only had to be 18 to drink there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Wisconsin, but after watching Making a Murderer, there's some Wisconsin accent that I am now privy to. And every time I talk, I want to use that after watching that miniseries.
They do, even though they're just...
It's a little different.
Hey, it's very strange. They're 90 minutes away, but that's kind of the official voice of Wisconsin.
And I hear people... we Chicagoans sometimes make fun of it. I don't, because I didn't know that that's really what they sound like.
Yeah.
It's very endearing. The nicest people, honestly.
Without a doubt.
So down to earth.
Yep.
It's just, it's cool. I love accents. That's just a really kind of cute one. Yes, like, I don't know what it is. Like,
very
little,
similar to Minnesota, if you ever saw Fargo.
Yeah.
And yes, how come are they near, or why are they the same? They're not next to each other.
Well, I'm not sure.
It's just up north a little bit? Is that what it is? Because Canadians.
The immigrants that were there before.
I have a Canadian friend who almost sounds a little like that, too.
The Canadian accent is slightly different, not dramatically different, but what Kim just said is true. There's remnants of there's little flecks of various European accents in the Wisconsin and Minnesota accent. Although,
where did that come from?
Plenty
though,
of Europeans
I tell you,
settled
all.
Here in Chicago and all around the country.
Yeah.
So why didn't that permeate wherever they settled? I don't know. I have
don't
no
you
idea.
Know? I don't know that.
I don't know. I always liked whatever when I was doing stand-up and I would work in Minnesota, the people of Minnesota would say a phrase that I think is so indigenous to Minnesota. I know we can say it anywhere else in the country, but if there's something that they don't like or they don't understand, they will say, oh, that's different. Like they'll never come right out and say, I don't like. Like if you came up to somebody from Minnesota and just started punching them, they wouldn't ask you to stop punching them. They would just go, oh, with the punching, that's really different. I'm not used to a guy just punching me like that.
Well, isn't that more polite?
That's way
than
more
saying, I don't like that.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah, they're so non-confrontational. Like if you were lighting matches and throwing matches at them, you'd think, well, they're going to tell me to stop doing it. No, that's different. I've never seen a guy just light matches and throw them my way. That's different. They don't want to hurt you in any way.
I just find that fascinating. I swear to you, Bill, I had never really been involved in a lengthy discussion with people from Wisconsin until I watched that Making a Murderer.
And now you're engulfed in it.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. So why, and I blame this on proximity, but you can blame it on whatever you want. Why is there such a weird, incredible rivalry between us, the people of Illinois, and the people of Wisconsin? You would think, like, if the world were a neighborhood, there would be our next-door neighbors, and you want to be kind to your next-door neighbors. So why are we supposed to not like them, and why are they not supposed to like us?
Does Homewood like Flossmoor?
Not really.
See?
No,
they don't. What's another twin city?
LaSalle, Peru.
See? The Peruvians do not like the LaSallians.
They're at war.
It's just
good
you
luck.
Know,
it's a war zone there.
You don't. You're always envious of what your neighbor has. But you want to covet your neighbor's property, and you covet your neighbor's
wife and goods
and accent.
Yeah, I guess we're coveting our neighbor's accent, aren't we?
Oh yeah, that's different.
That's
too.
Different, is what that is. But what you would think? Well, let's hate somebody far away. Let's hate Tacoma, Washington. Let's rag on them for a little while. Why would we just?
Because you never see them. You want to be above your neighbor.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, hey there.
Is that what it is?
Different, huh? I'm just going to throw stuff out there.
All right. That's crazy.
All right. My brother lives in Peoria, and Sharon, Peoria has an accent?
That's what I'm told. Now, I was born in Indianapolis. My sister was born in Green Bay. My other sister was born in Blue Island, and then we moved to Peoria. And that's where I tell people I grew up. Until we moved back here in the 60s, and people still say, I have a Peoria accent.
I don't know what the Peoria accent would be. I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know either, but...
My brother has been there for quite some time, his wife, my nieces and nephew, and it's just not as pronounced as Chicagoans.
Exactly, and it's not as pronounced as... South of Peoria, it starts getting a little twangy, you know, a little southern. But for some reason, people will still say, you have a Peoria accent.
So this has happened to you on more than one occasion.
Oh, for years. And
how about
I've
that?
Been up here for 40 years, for more than 40 years.
You sound like a real Chicagoan to me, Sharon. Want some sausage?
Thank you. I don't care. I'm from all over.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling. Happy New Year.
Now, the Chicago accent that has been pinned on us.
Chicago. The super fans.
Right.
That's not us.
I was just going to say.
Sorry.
People around the country who see that and think, oh, that must be the way the people of Chicago speak. Incorrect.
No
However,
freaking way.
But that said, from time to time, don't you run into somebody or encounter somebody who does talk that way? I have heard people talk
yeah,
that way.
Yeah, Dennis Farina in real life before he passed away spoke that way.
A little bit. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
And I mean, there are some people that talk like that, but I, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a tough guy. Depends where you're brought up.
But all of us, everybody who lives here in the city or the surrounding suburbs, we don't all sound that way. But you would think, like, if you lived elsewhere and watched that interpretation of the way we speak on television, you go, well, that must be the way they talk. I watch TV. I hear the Chicago accent. It's just like that.
I will tell you this. When I worked at another radio station, there was a program director who moved to, I think, San Diego, and he wanted me to do some voice work for their bumpers, mm-hmm. like KLSX or something. And he said, you sound too Chicago when you say rock and roll. And I said, what do you mean? And he's like, it's like rock. You got to say, like, rock and roll.
Just soften it a little
yes.
bit?
Yeah. So that's what Chicago does. Like, I would say rock and roll.
Right.
He goes, say it more like rock. Rock and roll.
Don't pronounce the yeah. rock quite as deliberately.
So that's where I think we Chicagoans say it. But the ones that go, hey, Chicago, that's...
Very rare. Although they do exist, but very rare.
Not many of them.
Not many of them. They're scattered about.
So we started talking about this because there's some new things that Wisconsin sports fans...
Yeah, we'll take a break. And then if
you... Is it different?
It's different, Wendy. I'm telling you. I'm looking at it.
I like the way you said Wendy.
Oh, it's different. So we'll tell you, if you're going to cheer for something in Wisconsin, there's new rules that you must abide by. Stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're learning a lot on this show today. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, do not covet your neighbor's accent. That is something we shouldn't do.
That's true.
And our neighbors from to the north, Wisconsin, have some new rules for sporting.
It turns out if you're attending a game in Wisconsin, and this goes all the way to high school, they actually single out high school in this, you're not allowed to do, there's chants that go on at various sporting events. For instance, air ball, you can't do that anymore. Funt? No, I don't. I've never heard
Alan
this of
Alan Funt?
Game. No, you can say Alan Funt. You can still go to a game and say Alan Funt's name. Although people will go, who? And then I'll have to explain who that is. Fundamentals. Has that ever been chanted at a game? I don't know. Season's over. You can't chant any of those things anymore. It says you're still allowed to do the clapping part. You know, not. That's still allowed.
What about?
I think you can still do that. It says you're still allowed to do the clap parts of chants that accompany many longtime beloved taunting chants. But for now, students and cheerleaders in Wisconsin will have to conform to a new set of cheering standards. You know, Wendy, there's a lot of problems in the world. But the one problem I think that's universal that people have said we must stop is all the cheering chants. That's just gone through the roof lately.
This is ridiculous.
The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association announced these new rules in December by way of an email. Here's what they say. This is according to their email that I stole. Not wanting to restrict creativity or enjoyment, an enthusiastic and boisterous display of support for a school's team is welcomed and encouraged at interscholastic events when directed in a positive manner. This according to the WIAA. They went on to say, however, any action directed at opposing teams or their spectators with the intent to taunt, disrespect, distract, or entice. Now, let me just stop for just a second. The reason you do these things is to do everything they told you they don't want to do.
Yes.
The reason you chant things at any sporting event is to either taunt, disrespect, distract, or entice the other team. That's the reason that these things were invented.
No kidding. We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
You can't say that in Wisconsin anymore.
Does anyone really say that ever since we've been kids?
I think the last time, right. I think the last time. When I played Little League, we were encouraged. Our coach said, we got to have some chatter out there. We got to have chatter. So in Little League, they would teach us, here's what you were supposed to say. Hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, hey, batter, hey, batter, swing.
Right. You're
supposed to say that. I would not say that because I would say to my coach, they don't say that in the major leagues, and I'm not going to say that.
Is that because you were in the major league movies?
No, because I was just a little kid then. Oh. I had no idea what my fame and fortune would be in Hollywood. I was just 11.
Which is about the cents of your residuals from that now.
About 11
right?
cents is what I get. But it was so, to me, it was so derogatory to do something on a baseball field that the pros didn't do that I wouldn't do it. But all the other kids would go, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, swing. And do you know when that would work? Never.
Yeah,
not once ever did a batter go, wow, the opposing team is telling me I should swing. I guess that's the thing to do. It's ridiculous. Student groups, school administrators, and event managers should take immediate steps to correct this unsporting behavior. Again, I disagree. This is extremely sporting behavior. This is part of what brings you to a game, is to show some enthusiasm and to tell the other team that they're not as good as your team.
It would be so quiet otherwise at a game.
Wouldn't it be?
I mean, look at how loud the Blackhawks fans are.
Right.
It is so right. cool to experience that.
Now, that said, since you brought up the Blackhawks, because I was going to get to this eventually, but this is perfect. There's a couple of things going on at hockey games. Number one is it's the two-syllable chant, Crawford, Crawford. If you're Corey Crawford, you know your name is Crawford, and you're not gonna let a puck go through because the crowd is on to your name, are you? If
no,
you're Corey
I
Crawford,
know,
you're
ridiculous.
Not gonna go, wow, these guys figured me out. It says my name on the back. They must have read it.
And actually, isn't that showing support? Like, if I'm hearing my name, I'm thinking people are for me.
That's brilliant. That's what they should do. That's what they always should do.
Yeah.
Pretend these are my fans and they're chanting my name.
Because it's not like it's hurting them. They're saying, right. you know, they're not saying doofus, doofus.
Right.
That would mess you up. But
no.
if they're saying your name, you'd be like, wow, they're digging me.
They like me. These people like me.
Thank you, Sally Field.
The other thing, Field. The other thing is, and I've told you this before, the goofs that just keep banging on the glass.
I know.
Come on. You're very brave because there's a million people watching. So the hockey player, you know, he's not going to come into the stands and womp on you. But go do that outside in the parking lot then. Just go up to his car and start banging on the glass when he's trying to leave the parking lot and see what happens.
God, I would love to witness that.
Me too. The rules, it says here, are now making their way around the state's student bodies to a less than positive reaction, surprisingly. One student at Hilbert High School... This sounds like a made-up name, doesn't it?
Yes,
does that
it
sound
does.
Like a real from Archie comic books? Was suspended after posting a Twitter message that included the email along with the words "eat me." Can I say "eat me"? Like I can say that. Pretend I didn't say "eat me."
You can say that.
I'm not going to say "eat me." While the WIAA's intentions are noble, the outcome, as evidenced by the student's immediate reaction, is likely to be less. Already certain locales have banned cheering entirely at sporting events. This is like, what was the movie where you weren't allowed to dance? Remember that movie?
Footloose.
It was Footloose.
Never saw it.
Where you were not allowed to dance. This is just like Footloose. Certain locales have been banning cheering entirely at sporting events where administrators fear that the impact of the crowd's words would be too shameful. This is ridiculous. Since the dawn of time, since the beginning of time, when they first invented sports, they had people taunting the other team. That's part of it.
That's how it goes.
I know.
It's part of it.
It's part of it.
Who wrote this?
Jay Busby. Another made-up name.
What's his deal?
I don't know. Well, it's not his fault. He's just reporting on it. But I can't believe, and what was it about the state of Wisconsin? There's 50 states. Why did Wisconsin go, we got to do something. People are coming to games and they're yelling stuff at the opposing team. This must be stopped. Why was this such an issue in Wisconsin and nowhere else? Crawford, Crawford.
Bill, the hey batter, swing thing is more to keep a bunch of 10-year-olds paying attention than to make a better batter
swing. Is that what
swing.
It is?
That's what... I think 815, Coach 815 has just texted us.
All right,
us.
That makes more sense. I wouldn't do it. I refused. But I'd love to go to a pro game where everybody on the infield is yelling, hey batter, hey batter. That would be fantastic.
I would laugh.
All right, Steve Bertrand's going to be in just a little bit. He'll tell you what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. Hey, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's the second half of the show. We do a couple of hours, and then we take an hour off to reflect, and we let Steve come in, and he does the business lunch, and then we come back.
You missed out on a lovely lunch, by the way.
I did?
I offered you up some of my home cooking.
Right. and I politely declined for health reasons.
You see, you are so mean.
I need some governing agency to come to your house and make sure that everything's on the up and up before I can eat anything from your house. I just want to make sure that there's nothing out of whack. Once
what
they come
by, what have I done to you? What have I done to you that you're so cruel?
You told me you've had a mouse problem at the house. I don't want. How do I know mice aren't just climbing through your pans and stuff? So I
don't have
wait.
Mice in my pants.
Pans.
Oh. I made homemade cream of chicken wild rice soup, and I mentioned it the other day to you, and I said, next time I should make a double batch because I'd like to bring you some. And
right.
You said, no, I don't really like that. And that hurt my feelings, but now you're
Why
saying...
Why would that hurt your feelings? I just don't... That's not a food I would ever eat.
Yeah, but
ever.
Now you just said it's because you don't trust my cooking. Kevin, was the soup good because I brought you some?
It was delightfully tasty, nutritious.
It was delicious.
Rich
it smelled
in flavor.
So good.
Right.
I can go on.
But thank you, Kevin. But you can't get upset if the food, like, I would never order that in a restaurant. I would never have it at home. So
no,
why
I
would
understand
I have
that,
it if
but
you
right now
in?
You said I mentioned a mouse problem that I had years ago.
Well, there's that too. Because I don't know that the kitchen is up to standards.
I wash my hands. Feel my hands. They're so rough. I wash them so many times.
Right.
When I'm preparing food, that just hurts my feelings.
Sorry.
And Steve Bertrand broke the computer. No, you're just, I really try to be nice. I was going to bring
you
guys
nice.
A little present because I have
what
something that went really well at home.
Is it cooking related?
No, it's something to wear, something. But now I'm just going to bring it for
you
Bertrand.
Made,
and
you
Kevin.
Made us clothes?
No, this isn't something I made. I bought something for the boys this Christmas and it went over so well. They had to open their presents at the same time.
Right.
They loved them. I was jealous that they had them, so I went back and bought myself a pair. They're plaid Blackhawks pajamas.
All right, I'll eat those.
Well, no, I'm not getting you those now. You make it hard to be nice to you. Kevin, you're getting some Blackhawks jammies.
Great.
They're flannel.
Can I eat cream of chicken and wild rice soup in it?
Yeah.
Hey, that's
that
the dream.
That sounds comfortable.
I'm telling you, there's nothing that makes me feel better than when someone enjoys my cooking because I put love into it.
Right.
Jimmy Mack gets up every morning and makes the kids lunches now. And I said, boys, I pulled them aside. I said, be honest, weren't my sandwiches better?
That seems healthy.
And then they said, yes. Why? What did you do differently? And I said, I made it with love.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't use love.
Oh, no.
He uses margarine instead of love. That's what kind of cook is that?
When the boys tell me things are RQ, it means restaurant quality.
Yeah.
That means the world to
That's
me.
That's a five-star endorsement.
You have shunned my cooking.
I'm very particular on the foods that I'll eat. You know
Whatever.
That.
I'm done being nice to
Bring
you.
Bring in some corn dogs. I'll have a corn dog.
No, because you'd come up with something else, like, oh, is there a tiki hair in your oven? I won't eat it.
I would need to check. See, that's the thing. Can I be honest with you? When I go to people's houses that have pets and are very amorous with their pets and are always holding and petting their pets, I can't eat at their houses. I can't.
Every day I learn more. I've known you a long time, and recently I have found some things that you reveal that make me sad.
But please understand, and this is no reflection
on you. I don't
understand.
This Almost, is, I'd say 70% of people out there have pets.
I know. And
yeah,
when,
but he doesn't eat at 70% of their houses.
I do, right.
It makes me sick to my stomach. You're saying that. I take care that the dog isn't running around in the kitchen. I wash my hands for everything. I make sure that everything is clean.
Do you wash your hands every time you touch your dog, every single time? Do you always go and wash your hands immediately thereafter?
If I'm cooking, yes.
You do? Okay.
Of course.
Because I've been to people's houses where that's not the way it is. My own grandmother, when we used to go to my grandmother's house for holidays, they had a dog and she'd be messing with the dog and playing with the dog and stuff and then right back to cooking.
Oh, no, I know.
I never ate there once in my whole life. I couldn't eat there.
You know.
And then they say, well, you know, her mouth is cleaner than
right.
your mouth.
They always say that.
I'm not sticking my hand in your mouth either.
Steve, don't you have a dog?
Yes.
So why are you siding with him?
I'm not siding with anyone, but I don't like it either. My kids do that. You know, they'll get their face right into Roxy's face and, you know. That,
yeah, but they're not cooking your meal. My kids do that, too, and sometimes I do that. I'll get on the floor and cuddle bug with Tiki, but then I'm not Why do you roll your eyes? You're just so hateful.
That's not good.
It's not hateful.
That's not good for anyone.
I know where that dog's mouth goes. I watch her.
Right. Right.
Jealous.
When I was a kid...
You're not that liver. Start taking yoga.
We used to go to... My parents had a friend... We would go to my parents' friend's house every once in a while for dinner. And their cat had free reign to walk around the table.
Counters,
like their cat would walk around
everything.
The table before we would eat. You'd look over at the table and the cat was like walking around, you know, like licking off of bowls and stuff like that. And they would,
no.
I swear to you, yeah. And I couldn't eat. I just.
You think that's going on in my house?
Not necessarily.
I'm a clutterer, but I am so anal about yeah. things being clean. I, you know, I wash pre-wash lettuce. I am so anal about
that's
stuff
how
like
it should
that.
Be. That's how it should be.
I'm not.
But I would need.
Why do you eat? Does Mary Vandevelde have a pet? Because you eat stuff she
nope.
makes.
I've been to the house. When the family's not home, I go to the house and I look around and I go, this seems like a clean environment to cook food in. But it's not on you. It is. No, it's.
You said, be honest. Do you touch your dog and then go right back to cooking?
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
I don't.
Mary's clean.
Mary's very
oh,
clean.
God, you got.
I would have surgery done at Mary's house.
Jim,
I
I'm
have,
trying to
actually.
Be nice to
you
these
have.
Boys.
Yeah. Outpatient.
Listen to what they're, how rude they are.
I can't believe Bill. he's out at a restaurant almost every night. Does he check the cleanliness of those restaurant kitchens?
I do, yes.
You do not. What, do you bring your clipboard back there and a giant magnifying glass?
I do. That's why I only eat at Chipotle now.
Bring Dave Savini's blacklight to Chipotle if that's what you want.
I know.
I just am trying. You know, when someone makes me something, I never think about, oh, God, did they touch their dog?
Right. I always do. That's all I think about.
I'm speechless.
Believe me, though, Jim, to your credit, I do understand that some restaurants are not as clean in the back as they should be.
They're
I
not
get
as
that.
Clean as me.
No. And I'm sure several of them have mice problems.
Some of them do.
Yeah, rats.
A minimum they can allow. But
coyotes.
Yeah.
Bugs.
And rats in the alleys.
Cockroaches.
I know
cockroaches.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, Wendy brings a bowl of soup and you won't eat it.
It's not a soup I like. If it was a flavor I like.
You wouldn't. You still
I
wouldn't
still
eat.
Wouldn't eat it.
See?
I still wouldn't.
See,
you made your tomato soup.
No, he likes lobster bisque. And I said yesterday, he goes, I don't like cream of chicken. And I said, oh, well, Kevin will eat it, you know. And I said, what do you like? And Bill's like, I'm a little finicky. I like lobster bisque. I said, what if I made lobster bisque? And he said, no. I said, even with extra lobster? He said, no.
You should applaud my honesty.
I just think that's mean.
Jim, you have any pets at the house?
Yes, we have a dog and two cats.
All right. So what's your rule with touching the dogs and cats and then preparing food? What is your rule?
I don't make dinner. My wife does it, so.
Well, but there still must be some protocol. If she's petting the dog or petting the cat, does
she's
she go?
Washing, yeah, she's washing her hands.
She will?
Do you
right.
think people yeah. are living in the wild? I mean,
well,
God.
Some people do live in the wild.
Jim, I'm going to make you soup next time. Kathy's totally on your side, Bill.
Bill, I'm with you. Although, Wendy, I love you too. But on this, Bill, I cannot eat anything. When there is a situation where food is out that I don't know who's cooked it, or
yeah.
even, I can't do it. I used to work in a school, and on Wednesdays we'd have treat days.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. And
you're fun at potlucks, Kathy. Let me tell you that.
My office in the school was right by the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh.
I knew who washed their hands and who didn't. So that was it for me. Like, I couldn't even touch anything. So I'm with you. I'm still I'm the same way. I've always been this way. My husband thinks I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
So, well, you might be close, though. So you would sit in your office and, like,
count how many people wash their hands. There's a tally sheet.
No, was it like a timing thing? Could you hear the toilet in the background?
Yes,
or?
Yes, exactly. Right. I'd hear the toilet, and then if the door opened right after, I made a judgment right there. I knew exactly what was going on.
You're a genius, Kathy, as far as I'm concerned. I see it your way. 100%.
All right, but I have to ask Kathy one question. Say you've known someone for over 20 years, and they yeah. made you something. You still wouldn't eat it?
I wouldn't. No.
All right.
It's not just me.
I thought it was just you,
no,
so
it's not just
I will
me.
Take
no.
back my hurt.
All right.
No.
Thank
sorry.
You, Kathy. Okay. We appreciate the call. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Kathy, Bill never washes his hands after he uses the bathroom.
I don't use the bathroom.
You are not human. What planet are you from?
It's a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. But I don't want you to be hurt by this. This is a reflection on me, not on you.
No, I'm not gonna ever bring you anything or
All
give
right.
you anything.
That's
just
fair.
Give it to Yun. Bring it in for Bill and give it.
No, because that's not fair. Yun will eat anything. That doesn't even mean that it's good.
This
I just want
Steve's
somebody
producer.
To appreciate it.
Right. There's and what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
You make me want to cry.
Don't, please.
I'm not PMSing because I don't get my M anymore.
Thanks.
What kind of soup are you making tonight that Bill won't eat tomorrow?
Right. You're making me hungrier by the moment.
How does that have anything to do with soup?
I don't know. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to just have
a stranger bring me some food.
Kathy and I are going to have a donut, and then we'll come back.
I hope you guys starved to death.
Right outside the bathroom. Right? Timing for a stopwatch. Yeah,
we'll be all right. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Wendy's upset with me. She made her world-famous dog hair soup. She brought some in. I didn't want to eat any of it. It's created a huge problem.
I'm done talking for the day. Can I just leave early?
No, you can't leave early.
It wasn't dog hair soup. I was being so careful.
No, I know.
Matt, what about food safety here?
Hey, guys. First of all, I tuned in a little bit late, so I don't know if you covered it. Did you talk about that Seinfeld episode?
No.
Jerry's in the bathroom washing his hands, and all of a sudden the chef comes out of the toilet and opens up the door and says, I'm going to make you something really special. And he takes off without washing his hands. And Jerry gets this shocked look on his face.
I would, too.
But I'm food safety certified both in Illinois and California, and it's pretty scary what you find out. And, for instance, one thing is people have a tendency to put warm food, like when it's still hot, in the refrigerator. Well, that actually can cause bacteria to grow on the food.
I learned that just recently because when I made this soup, I didn't know. I made it the day before, and it's like, do I put it in there when it's scalding hot? But I let it cool down a little bit. What is the proper way to do that?
Well, you let it cool down so that, you know, it's not hot. Essentially, warm is okay,
but not hot to touch. Like you could pick up the pot without pot holders.
That's correct.
I score.
Yeah, I'm real sensitive to if I go to somebody's house and they have a buffet out. You know, you like, how long has this been out? How do you ask that question?
You don't.
Right, and so you know, if I see it coming out of the oven or I do that, and you have to let food rest too. I mean, you can't. Piping hot is not really the way to necessarily eat it, but if I come to a party and, you know, it's been going on for a while, I'm going nowhere near the food that's out.
Matt, since you brought up buffets and you certainly know what you're talking about, there's a thing on buffets, and I know you'll know what I'm referring to. It's a glass strip that goes along the top,
you know,
and
it's referred to
as a sneeze guard.
Yeah.
Couldn't they come up with a slightly better name than sneeze guard? Because once you see that, then you're thinking about why it's called a sneeze guard, and it just ruins the whole meal.
Well, I know. And actually, Rich Melman's the guy who designed that.
Yes. Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Yep. First restaurant was Fritz, that's it.
What were we talking about yesterday, Bill, where I said that would be a good way to dispense something? Because it was something about soup, because I hate going to, like, our cafeteria, for instance.
It should be like in, a Hinckley & Schmidt water container or something where you just...
Or like a soft serve.
Yeah. Oh, a soft serve. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I can't stand when you go to these cafeterias or even all the grocery stores have this now where you can touch the ladle and put it in your own container.
Right.
It's like, I don't know who, like, sneezed on their hand before they touched the ladle.
Yeah.
See, I'm saying this, and you're not going to eat something I made... I'll tell you what, Matt, could you come to our house and certify my house as it's...
If you'll do that, Matt, I will try the soup.
Unfortunately, I've been in a lot of restaurant kitchens, and all the names will remain nameless.
Uh-huh.
Boy, oh boy, what I've seen in those kitchens.
I can imagine.
There are a lot of restaurants that I loved to go to. And
all the restaurants Bill goes to.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that. So we're very adaptable and we survive. You know, I mean, I think if we freak out too much about every germ,
right?
You know, we'd be paralyzed, Bill.
Yeah, so, that's true.
I mean, the fact is, you know, you can eat Wendy's soup and be okay.
Is that code?
I don't know.
He won't eat anything I make. And you know what? Even if I make a $1.5 billion cake with my winnings of the Powerball, I'm not going to give you a piece.
All right.
Well, I'm not a germaphobe by any means. You know, I love to go, camping and, you know, stuff falls. But it's really just about what's going on. And now we're hearing more about things like Chipotle with the guacamole, with the avocado, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And guacacoli.
You know that the number one producer of avocados is
I can't think of his name right now. He's a singer-songwriter, but he owns avocado ranches out in California.
Like the Haas Avocados?
I don't know the name of the ranch, but I can't think of his name, but he sold out two shows at Chicago Theater. But at any rate...
Is it Jason Mraz?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I would never touch his avocados.
Well, you can read into that.
He's filthy. How does he have anything to do with the
That's
avocado
the weirdest,
business?
I never would have put that together ever.
He invested in it, and he's a surfer dude. But, you know, all I'm saying is that this is coming up a lot, and there's a restaurant right now that you both know, and I'm not going to say the name, but, I mean, they're having a serious problem. They just got cited for, you know, that bacteria. And
yeah.
I know the restaurant. It was in the news. Yeah.
Sadly, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt. You're grossing us out.
Thanks for letting me come on, and you guys have fun.
Thank you, Matt. We
come
appreciate the call.
Come certify my kitchen.
Certify
will you?
Wendy's kitchen.
I want that soup.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Email Matt some soup.
All right. Really quickly, Michael has a great question for you. I made some soup at my home kitchen, and I really am anal about washing my hands frequently. I make sure there's no dog hair in the kitchen.
Right.
He doesn't walk on the counters, mm-hmm. and Bill wouldn't eat my soup. But, Michael, you have a great question.
I do have a solution to Bill's problem.
What is it?
Maybe Wendy should go to your house and make you the soup.
Oh, then
would
I would
you
eat it. Yeah,
he's shaking his head. No, you are a jerk, and you're mean, and I hate you.
Well, get him some Nature's Healthy Trinity. And
he's
got
I'm
it.
On it. I'm using it now.
Well, then you have nothing to worry about.
Right, that's true. It would fight
what
off any...
What do you have against me? You no, only I'm... are playing the Powerball, so I don't win and you don't.
Can I prove it's not about you? Can I tell you really quickly? Listen to this. Years ago...
Michael, thank you. Great
thank
idea.
Thank you, Michael. Years ago, there was a baker that we had on the show, and he had a bakery in the northern suburbs. And I said to him, boy, I've been in the area. I've never been to the bakery. He goes, come on by whenever you want. We'd love to have you. And I went there, and the food was fantastic. He baked stuff for the show. I don't know if you remember him. His dog was at his side the whole time he was baking, and he'd be petting his dog and then mixing up cakes and cookies
right,
and stuff.
I don't do that.
No, I know, but stuff like that, I've seen enough.
I wouldn't eat that either.
But I've seen enough incidents like that where... that
It
like,
all comes back to hating animals.
Yeah, a lot of it does. A lot of it does. And I don't hate animals. I just hate the fact that people will be, they'll be kissing their dog and stuff. And
are you jealous?
No. No, I'm not jealous.
Giselle Bundchen kisses her dog.
She can make me a cupcake. I'd have a cupcake or two.
That'd be some tasty soup
yes.
right there.
Hey, Wendy, yes. Bill's wife just called, actually, and she said that if it's not lobster bisque, he's not eating it, period.
That's how it is.
Soup.
All right, but I want to do a little experiment, and Terry can call back and tell me, because if I made lobster bisque tonight
right.
and I brought it in and it was triple the lobster,
yeah.
you still wouldn't eat it.
I might have a little. I might have some.
You know, you make it too hard for me. I just am not putting any effort into you anymore.
All right, that's fair. The news is coming up in just a little bit, and then we have more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Are we going to talk about MTV? Because that's what this reminds me of, the vapors.
Yeah, we can. I'm in.
Bill, you have talked to me about these shows that you watch from all over the world. I have not been privy to many of them.
They're hysterical.
They're like crazy game shows.
Yeah, because the rules are different in every country, and other countries aren't as litigious as we are here in the United States. So mostly in Asian countries, but it happens in other parts of the world, too. They just do anything. Anything goes. It's hysterical.
Well, then we have a show for you because premiering on the 19th, next Tuesday night, is a show on the Travel Channel called Planet Primetime. And we have Carla Cavalli, who is host of Travel Channel's Planet Primetime. How are you, Carla?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me, Bill and Wendy. It's so nice to meet you.
Well, it's so nice to hear about these crazy shows because Bill tells me about them all the time and shows me these videos, and I can't believe some of them. It's like, you know, Ashton Kutcher's punked.
Yeah.
They got nothing on him.
Right.
Basically, it's like the magic of the web has actually brought a lot of these shows, you know, around the world, and we get to see them. And I'm kind of doing it in a different way. I'm not only showcasing game shows. I'm showcasing comedies. I'm showcasing dramas, reality shows, sitcoms, like all different kinds of shows, all different genres. But the game shows are really, really a lot of fun, and there's a great one in the first episode in Japan.
So, Carla, would you agree that, like with what I said a little while ago, which is the rules, it depends on where you are on the planet, the rules are just different from country to country, right?
Yeah, the rules are much different, and you're correct. Like, we're quite a litigious society, so you basically sign your life away in the States when you go on any kind of a show. So, you know, it's at your own peril. And when you're overseas, like, I think they get away with a little bit more just because their boundaries can be pushed more. I think they're a little less PC. They can do kind of more wild and crazy things on foreign TV.
The first one I ever saw, Carly, years and years ago, there was a show in Japan called The Screamer. And what it was a guy about 50 years old, and he would just go up to unsuspecting people and just scream at them as loud as he could. That was the whole show. That was it.
And you know what? People thought it was hilarious.
Yep.
Well, we had Candid Camera for all those years.
Right.
With Alan Funt. And I mean, really, it was funny watching people look stupid, really.
Yeah.
And to see their reactions, but really just screaming
That's
in their
it.
Face.
That's it. No explanation. Just walk up to people and scream as loud as he could.
Yeah, I mean, that's genius. You would think it would be a hard concept to come up with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, that's what I do. I kind of just go around the world and end up looking stupid, and you will laugh at my expense quite a bit, I guarantee it.
Now, do you partake in any of these things? Like, I know there's a show called Gaki no Tsutai? I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah, that was right. You were close. Gaki no Tsukai, and I do. I participate in almost all of them. It's not just a behind-the-scenes look. Like, I'm actually diving in order to actually, like, experience and understand the culture firsthand.
And Gaki no Tsukai is a sketch comedy show. Where is this, Japan?
This is in Japan, yep, in Tokyo. It's been on the air. It's been on the air for, like, decades, my goodness. It's sort of like our SNL is to us. It's like this beloved show that everybody really gathers around and watches, and it doesn't matter what age you are. Pretty much everything, you know, relates to anyone, and they all think it's hilarious.
Carla, for years, I would watch a show called Sabado Noche Grande or something like that, which was a Hispanic show. They didn't speak any English, and I believe it was a five-hour show every Saturday.
Wasn't that Sabado Gigante?
Sabado Gigante, yeah. That was it, yeah. Big Saturday. And I didn't understand a word of it, but I loved it.
Well, I think that's what's so great about it, is that even though you don't speak the language, what's happening on screen translates to anyone around the world. Like, if there's a game show that's fun and there's music and there's dancing and they bring joy to people, you know, that's going to sort of cross all barriers.
Yep, makes sense.
Bottom line is we all like to laugh. Seriously.
Yeah.
A lot of times at other people's expense, I hate to admit. When we were growing up here in Chicago, before all the multi-channels on the television, there was Channel 32, Channel 44, Channel 26.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that the Hispanic one where there was some guy who dressed up and he was a man, but he dressed up like a little kid with a spinny little hat.
I remember that, yeah.
And I watched it too, couldn't understand a thing, but he made me laugh.
Yeah, why not, right?
But, yeah, that's interesting. I actually went to Colombia and we visited a show called Sábados Felices, and there's a character named Rogelio who is a grown man, but he kind of looks like a little boy and he kind of talks like a little boy, and the audience just eats it up. They think he's so, so funny, and he is, but he tells like these really slapsticky, like really bad dad jokes. But you know what? Everybody loves it. He actually made me do some of the dad jokes in Spanish on stage. It was my first time ever doing stand-up comedy, and then I had to do it in front of a live audience.
Carla Cavalli on the line with us, host of the new Travel Channel half-hour original series Planet Primetime. It premieres next Tuesday, January 19th. Back-to-back episodes, 8 and 8:30. Now, did you have to learn some different languages to participate in some of these shows in the different countries?
I did, and boy, was it difficult. I mean, I speak English and Spanish, like, decently. You know, my teachers in high school would probably be really disappointed in my Spanish on the show. But, yeah, I had to go on and learn lines, like, in Hindi, in Turkish, in ancient Arabic, and I had to either act in a drama or recite ancient poetry in foreign languages. Yeah, it was really quite a challenge.
Carla, explain this one to us. I've heard of this before, but I've never quite known what it is beyond the title. And I know it takes place in Brazil. It's the Miss Bum Bum competition. What was that? I know you have an episode coming up with the Miss Bum Bum competition.
We sure do. You're not going to miss the Brazilian episode.
Nope.
It's a lot of skin and it's a lot of
and no hair.
Right. That's yeah. So true.
Very true. You know, just like we have pageants in the United States, they have a televised pageant called the Miss Boom Boom Competition, and it goes on for weeks, and everybody watches it. And it's basically choosing the woman in Brazil out of the entire country that has the nicest derriere. Oh. And yeah, it's. I mean, it's a little objectifying. A lot of women might not like it, but you know, they're proud of their bodies and they work really hard for them. And these women want to show them off, and show them off they do.
I think that's where Ruth Bader Ginsburg first got her start, isn't it?
Very possible. She got a spray tan and she went on the Boom Boom Club.
I remember.
All right, now looking at your bio, you were a dancer, NBA dancer for the New Jersey Nets. You cheered for NHL hockey. Where are their cheerleaders in hockey?
You know, we actually used to be on roller skates, and we would skate all around the concourse and in the parking lot before the games. And we would do routines on skates. Yeah, it was kind of perilous because I'm not that good on skates. I was like, you know, we just sort of stand there and try to look cute.
Because I love the ice girls that come out and clean the ice, the ice
Hawks?
Crew, yeah, for yeah. the Blackhawks here. And I'm telling you, they are some great skaters. But the roller skates, just in the lobby, that's so funny. What teams were these?
Well, I mean, this is ancient history. Like, this was a way long time ago, before they even had any ice girls in the entire league. I think we were one of the first teams to actually have any kind of sort of female representatives of the team in the league, from what I remember. Yes, I guess it wasn't approved yet, thank goodness, because I am not good on skate.
And you hold the title of Miss New York USA 2002, top 10 finalist in the Miss USA competition. You have been around the world, and now you're learning all these different languages.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? All these kind of weird random jobs and things that I had, you know, throughout my life have kind of led up to this job. It's really strange, but they've all come in pretty handy. So I was kind of like, I guess, a jack of all trades, master of none, and now it's all working to my advantage.
Good. It paid off nicely for you. That's great.
Something else Carla does, you are on the board of directors for Hope to Thailand and Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. Bill, you know how many dogs Carla has?
How many? Can I guess?
Yes.
I'm going to say 12.
Oh, I wish. I wish I had 12.
How many?
I have 5, and they are my end-all, be-all of my existence.
That's a lot of dogs, Carla. Who's watching the dogs when you're globetrotting? Who's taking care of the dogs?
Well, my husband gets stuck with the job. I only had 2, and he had 2, and then we got married, and we had 4, and then, of course, I saw a dog on Instagram that I just had to rescue, and now she's a part of our family.
Dogs shouldn't be on Instagram. It hurts their paws.
Very
cool. How do they even make a connection on the touch screen?
No
That's
idea.
What I don't understand.
That's an advanced
I'm
dog.
A big,
she's like brilliant, you guys. She's so smart.
Well, I'm a big dog lover, and I'm wondering if in other countries they have, you know, because the stupid pet tricks that David Letterman used to do,
yeah.
they made us all laugh. Are there any animals involved in any of these other country funny videos?
Gosh, I didn't get to work with too many animals aside from like farm animals in random shows. Like in Turkey, I had to learn how to milk a sheep, and I had to learn how to shear a sheep when I was in New Zealand.
You did say milk a sheep, right, Carla? We heard that right. Milk a sheep?
Yeah, you heard that right.
Oh, no. Does the sheep doesn't enjoy that at all, I bet, right?
She did not, and she let me know it. I'll tell you right now. And I was very gentle because I'm very, you know, I'm an animal advocate. Like, I love animals, so I tried to be very gentle with her, but she wasn't happy. But that's okay. She gave me a lot of my money.
Well, it sounds really funny because Bill has told me about all these shows and shown me a lot of these goofy shows from across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And now it all comes together. Planet Primetime. It premieres next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. What is that, 7 here?
Yeah, 7 o'clock here.
I'm sorry. I don't make the connection. And the second episode airs that same night back-to-back on the Travel Channel. She is Carla Cavalli. So nice to meet you, Carla.
So nice to meet you too, Wendy. It was really great chatting with you guys.
Carla, hope it's a big hit for you. You deserve it.
Me too. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. This is the kind of show that I would love to see. I can't wait to see this.
We were talking about it off the air, and really, when you told me and showed me the video of the guy just screaming,
yeah,
it's really stupid.
It's hysterical.
But it's stupid.
It's really stupid. It's really stupid. A break and a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I hope you know I bit my tongue because I wanted to ask if she cooks in her kitchen with five dogs, Carla Cavalli, that we were just talking to.
What would that have proved?
That a lot of people do that.
I know they do. I'm not doubting that part of it. I just have to, you have to be careful of what you eat. You don't want to get any bacteria. You know that. I don't like bacteria, Wendy. I'm just being careful.
I was just trying to, you know, they say a way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Right.
So we've got back hair, bacteria. What else is bad? There are a lot of bad things like
Everything's
that.
Everything's bad. Everything is bad. I don't want this to continue to upset you, though. Bring in some soup tomorrow.
No, I'm not.
Bring in some soup. I'm not going to eat it, but you should bring some in. It'll be fine.
I thought I brought some leftover something and you ate it.
That's possible. It depends on what it is. If it's something yummy, I'm in. You know that.
We have a lot to talk about today. I just don't know if we have time to talk about some things.
Well, I want to bring this up. We were going to talk about this yesterday and we ran out of time. You know, the Playboy Mansion is for sale.
Oh, yeah.
Is that worth discussing? Because
do you have to live in there with Hefner?
Do you know that that's part of the provisions of buying it, is that he gets to continue, Hugh Hefner, according to this, gets to continue to live in the mansion after you've purchased it?
Well, that doesn't seem right.
I don't know what would be in it for anybody to buy it.
Do you have to disclose that?
I think so, because you can't, at the end of it, you can't go, oh, by the way, now that the sale's been made, I still get to live in there. I think you have to disclose it. But who in their right mind would buy it? First of all, the cleaning bill. Let's say you did buy it. Again, if I can just point out.
All right. Would you eat soup that was made in the Playboy Mansion?
No.
Especially a cream soup?
No. No soup. No soup for me. I'd be my own soup Nazi on this one.
That's been cleaned. It hasn't been active there for a long time.
What chemical could they use that's strong enough to clean out the history of the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, that's
And
a good
I
point.
Enjoyed it when I mean when I was a kid and when I used to go through Playboys, I go, oh, wouldn't that be great to live in the Playboy Mansion? But then at some point your brain kicks in and goes, it wouldn't be that great. It would not be that great. By the way, fun fact, Hugh Hefner outdates bacteria by 4 years. Did you know that?
And if he outdated it by 35 years, he'd date it.
He'd marry it.
No. All right, you guys are like 10-year-old boys right now.
Yes.
But this takes you back to that time where you had the Playboys stashed. You found your dad's stash of Playboys. Was that awkward?
No.
When you found your dad's books?
To some extent. I feel bad for kids today, mostly boys, but I guess girls too, because now anything they want to see is just on the internet. You're a couple of clicks away from seeing anything in the galaxy. It's right there. When Steve and I were kids, you had to work to see something dirty. You had to go out and really make it happen.
I knew every magazine on the block, right? You know
where they were located,
where the men would hide them.
Who was in them? Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, being a girl, my dad had a workbench and was not handy at all.
Interesting.
And it's so funny because then when, you know, I got married to Jimmy Mack, we have a workbench.
Right.
And he is less handy than my dad was. And that's the first place you look if you want to find him.
I think so.
That's where all guys stash their dirty magazines.
The first place you look is under the carpet of a tree fort. Because every
you
boy
really
that's
had a
ever...
tree fort.
You had a carpeted tree fort?
I know. Well, he really was Richie. Richie Rich over
it
here.
It just worked out that way. The way it was situated, we brought in an interior designer, and they said because...
Frank Fontana, I believe.
Frank Fontana,
a 10-year-old. Yeah.
A very young Frank Fontana.
Frankie then.
Little Frankie Fontana from the second grade came to our tree fort, and he explained to us feng shui, which we had never heard of before. And he said, here's what you want to do.
What month is she?
Put down... Miss April.
Don't go there.
Feng shui. So he said, you want to put down a throw rug, color neutral on this one. And then underneath, we dug a little hole and we had
a tree fort is in a tree.
It is, but the lower level, the lowest level
of
our tree
fort.
How
many levels?
Three.
Are you kidding me?
It was a good tree fort,
Wendy.
It's
like a duplex.
It was a triplex. It was a huge tree fort. Destroyed in a very weird fire, by the way. By, I believe, kids that were jealous of our tree fort.
Who wouldn't be jealous? That's better than my house.
It was a killer. It really was a
How
great
many years
killer.
Did
someone really set it on fire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we think other kids that
didn't have anywhere near as cool a tree fort as we had. We think that they burned it down.
It wasn't little Frankie when he was worried about his vision?
It was no. Hans Christian Andersen who burned it down. He said, man, this is way better than mine.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. So you had a three-level tree fort.
Right. Yeah. The lowest level was on ground. So when you would enter it through the curtain, there was a rug right there, and then we had about three or four Playboys underneath that carpet.
Was there a sign on the door that said no girls? G-I-R-L-Z?
Yeah, and some of the letters were backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you entered on the first. I'm intrigued by this.
You would.
How many kids did it take to build this? And how many dads?
Three. No, one of the dads, Mr. Meager, bought all the lumber. He had some tie-in with a lumber company, but it was six or seven of us that built it.
How long did it take you?
Like a couple of months. It was amazing.
And then how would you get up to the second level? Was there like wood nailed to the tree that you would climb up like a ladder?
It was like exactly what you just said.
But you would nail it to the tree.
Like an 8-inch or 9-inch piece of wood that was like oblong shaped, and then another one about 6 or 8 inches higher. So that got you to the second floor and the third floor. It was,
that's
for
amazing.
Being little kids, it was pretty cool.
How old were you?
Oh, boy. Fifth grade or sixth grade.
Weren't the chicks dying to get to your swinging tree fort?
We had Playboy magazines. Who needs real girls? You don't need real girls in a situation like that. No, believe it or not, the girls in the area were kind of immune to how cool our tree fort was. We thought while we were building it, this is
impressive.
The key. Yeah, but it didn't play out quite that way.
In our neighborhood, some of the boys had a shed, but it's just not the same.
Well, a shed's all right.
Not like a three-level tree fort.
Much creepier, even.
A shed is
hang out in the shed.
A shed is where Sling Blade would bring girls, I think.
And little Frankie Fontana didn't decorate that one, so no. It was just amongst the mops and brooms that were out there, a rake.
Right.
There was a hoe there once.
We don't like to talk about
Frankie.
It.
Frankie.
I can't believe. I'm sorry. I didn't hear anything other than your three-level tree fort, and that really amazed me.
I didn't say it to brag, but it was.
I would.
It was in Tree Fort magazine. It was the November issue of Tree Fort magazine.
Good fort keeping.
Yeah.
Was it a centerfold?
Yeah. And Playboy models, I believe, kept their magazine underneath their carpet, so it all comes full circle.
I'm into tree forts.
Right. All Playboy playmates were
and
into tree forts.
And long walks on the beach.
Sure.
Going to the tree
sense of humor
fort.
Always, right.
Yep.
Chicken soup.
Yep.
I liked the cartoons. Santa Claus
Little
was
Annie
in it a
Fanny.
Lot. Yes, but why was Santa Claus in Playboy all the time when it wasn't, you know, it's only Christmas 1 month of the year.
The magazine brought gifts.
What?
Steve was gearing up. He gets excited sometimes. It was always Little Annie Fanny. And remember that there was a grandmother who was real angular. Remember that grandmother who was kind of...
Kind of cute.
Yeah, I guess.
She was not cute. And she was saggy in certain areas, wasn't she?
In some areas she was saggy.
Were you ever a 13-year-old boy holding a Playboy?
Don't. Don't. I see it in your head. Don't. All right.
Where'd you put the National Geographic?
No, those were at the library. Those were because
you didn't have your own copy.
No, because we were allowed to read those. Playboy, you had to work to get.
You still saw an occasional
every once in a while
naked woman in that.
Yes, yes,
with a basket on her head.
Sometimes, yes.
Ice basket.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Probably have a meeting with management and then do more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. How will you spend your Powerball winnings?
Well, that's the question that you've been pondering for the last several days.
You've not even for a second thought of it. We're in an office pool here.
Mm-mm.
Steve, you have. You've admitted to it.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. It's going to be my... Well, I mean, it's all I want to get out of it is, you know, fantasy
dreaming.
Winning.
And it's okay to do that. Kevin, have you been thinking about what you'd do with your Powerball winnings with the office pool here?
Nope, I haven't.
Really?
See,
I have no expectations, so if I win, it's great, and then I can, you know, have it's extra money.
See, so it's like Christmas with no spending limit, so you can think of people and what they need, like, you know.
Remember, I'm the one who told you to go shopping online and put things in your cart and then close out the window.
Which is such a great idea.
I'm telling you because I am so impulsive that it gets that urge out of me and I forget about it.
Right. But you get the thrill in doing it your way. You get the thrill of buying something, but it doesn't cost you money. And then there's the downside of they don't actually send it to you. That's another little
Yeah, but I forget about it by
then.
Oh,
you do? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that, you know, you order on Amazon, and that's the main reason why I did the Prime membership, because 2 days for free, really, you order five things, and you've made up for your $99 for the year. Plus, you get video. It's really a great deal, the Amazon Prime.
That is
Prime.
A good deal, isn't it?
I got to get Prime just to start watching TV after seeing the Golden Globes.
I know. There is so much programming on Amazon Prime.
And they didn't censor it, right? If you watched it through Amazon Prime, I don't think it got censored the way it did on NBC.
I didn't watch it.
So that's a benefit.
No, I don't know.
Because it got censored quite a bit throughout the broadcast. There were little things I cut over here and there. I bought something for myself about a month ago, and they never sent it, and I can't find any proof that I bought it.
What?
Isn't that weird? There was somebody, you know, we've talked about this on the show, how sometimes you look something up, and once you look it up, your computer knows you're interested in it, so no matter what website you are, they show you that that item is still for sale, you know?
Yeah.
So somebody puts out these figures, these action figures of the Batman TV series, kind of cartoony-looking caricature versions of it, and they were half the price they normally are, and I went, wow, I wanted to buy them at full price. They're half the price. There's four of them in the set. I'll buy them for myself. That's a nice Christmas present. So I bought them. They never sent it, and I was going to complain to the company, and I've tried everything in my power to trace it. There's no sign of it anywhere.
So you don't remember where you bought it from?
Nope. Can't remember.
What has happened to you?
It was just
giant like piano fall on your head when you were walking to work last week.
It was some website that I had never dealt with before because I filled out all this stuff.
Because it's been pulled down now.
I think they did. I think once they got my money, they closed up.
You didn't get an email receipt saying that you purchased it?
No.
Did you get charged on your credit card?
No.
Oh, so you just never...
There's no sign of the transaction
ever
taking place.
Okay, so it's not like you bought it and you never received it. You thought you bought it.
Like after a while, I'm like, boy, I should have got that by now because it's been a month. So I checked through PayPal because a lot of times I buy things through PayPal. It wasn't on there. It wasn't on a credit card charge.
So you haven't been charged
thing.
For it.
I guess not. But isn't that strange? Like, shouldn't there be some record of it somewhere? There isn't anything. It's like it never took place.
Well, it's in the history on your computer. Do you know how to find that?
No. I don't think I have that on my computer.
You are so patient. You waited, like, after a month, you said, where is it? Because I would have been like, is it there yet? Is it there yet? Is it there yet?
I kept hoping to have it before Christmas, because I thought that'll be nice.
I'll
set that up. Yeah. And it just didn't happen. And then a few days after Christmas, I got curious about it. And then the other day, I went, I should really have that by now. It's been a month. I know that the Christmas season is very busy when it comes to sending things, but a month seems like a long time.
It's going
to
be longer than that.
There's no record of it anywhere.
That's weird.
I can't understand it. I want to warn everybody or prepare you. At about, let's say, 2:30, there's a game that I've invented, and it has to do with celebrity crushes. These are famous people. Now, usually, if I said to you a celebrity crush, you would think, oh, that's a celebrity that you or I would have a crush on.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
God, I couldn't even say his name. I got all flabbergasted.
Sure.
I ordered him once on a
they
website.
They never sent Keanu
no.
Reeves. Cool breeze, by
yes,
the way, in Hawaiian. So it turns out that the celebrities themselves also have crushes on other celebrities. You would think since we're normal people and we have crushes on celebrities, the celebrities, should have crushes on us. It doesn't work that way.
No, I would never have thought that, but cute
that's
that you did.
Wendy, that's the way, if the world was right, that's the way it would be, that your famous people would have crushes on us, but they don't. They have crushes on other people. So we've got a game, the Celebrity Crush Game, and we'll mention celebrities and whether they do or do not have crushes on other celebrities. We'll do that at 2:30, and you can win valuable prizes.
Awesome.
All right.
I can't wait for that. We are waiting for Ryan Burrow because this is what cracks me up, Bill. It's not just us. Many offices, many individuals have purchased tickets for the giant Powerball lottery, which is going to take place. Is it
tonight?
9 o'clock?
I don't know.
I think
what
it's
time,
9 o'clock our time.
Tonight.
10 o'clock our time. They're gonna draw the Powerball numbers, and it's $1.6 billion.
Somewhere in there now. Yeah. Yeah.
That just sounds so foreign saying that out loud.
It's too much money to even say, isn't it?
So I hope that our office wins it.
Why? That's weird.
Well, Ryan Burrow, there are various pools. There's one in the newsroom. Steve, are you involved in the newsroom pool?
Yes.
And the station one?
Yes, and individual ticket as well.
Wow, you're triple dipping.
Yep.
It's joy.
I think I gotta go. I gotta go get a single ticket too. My independent ticket.
And would you rather that one? Well, yeah, of course you would, because then you get all the money as opposed
to sharing. I don't want all that money
with everybody.
I don't want all that money.
So you'd rather get the one? You'd rather the WGN ticket wins, where it's shared.
It would
with
bond us for life.
56. It would.
It would.
We'd be like the kids from Lost.
Oh, and then we'd be uttering those numbers all the time, right, like Hurley did.
Yes, we would.
But it's funny because Ryan Burrow is the one who's reporting for ABC News everywhere around the globe.
24/7.
Yes. Yep. And here, of course, he's reporting. And Steve, who's the only one at this radio station who has not purchased a ticket?
Oh, that'd be Ryan Burrow.
Yep.
In any way, shape, or form. Why in the world would he not put $2 into the pool?
He has spent the last several days out in sub-zero weather reporting on this. The Illinois lot or the Powerball lotter should just give him tickets just for the mere fact that he's been reporting on it in the cold weather for so long.
No, he has to pay like everyone else.
All right. Funny. Did I say this earlier? He comes in to the newsroom. He'd been out at the gas station talking to people, and he's freezing, and he's the one who's, you know.
He's going to give his life for this story.
Yeah, but what did he say to you, Steve? I don't think you said this on the air.
I don't remember. What was it?
It was just he wants to see a rollover again, right?
Oh, no, that was me. I want the rollover. Oh. Because that's all I'm going to get out of it is a few more days of dreaming. So let's keep it going, baby.
And a frozen coworker, right. A frozen Ryan Burrow.
We're winning it. You got to be in it to win it.
That's what I can't tell you the percentage
of people saying that.
Every single person they interview goes, well, you know, if you don't play, you don't win. Well, yeah, that's kind of how everything works. If you're not in the major leagues, you won't hit a home run. If you're not an accountant, people won't bring their taxes to you. That's how everything works in the galaxy.
Well, we're in it, and we're going to win it, and I will be glad to split it with some people.
All right. That's fair. So we'll come back. We believe we're talking to a very frozen Ryan Burrow in just a little bit about the lottery and what to expect.
Did he forget to come down? Is he out covering?
He's actually in a closet shaking right now.
Is he?
He's like overwhelmed by it all.
All right. Well, we'll talk to him. He'll chatter his way through the interview next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Maybe you should get together with Salzwedel this summer.
Ryan Salzwedel?
And do a DIY three-level treehouse.
I think people would like to see that. It was like, did you ever see the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse in Disney World?
Yeah.
It was like that. It was great.
It was not like that. Do you know, like that spans miles and
stuff?
It
wasn't quite as nice as that, but it was reminiscent of it. Very similar.
Did you ever get a picture of that thing?
Nope. No photos.
Damn.
No, I know. Ryan Burrow is frozen solid and cannot come on.
No, there was a miscommunication with time, and he is the ABC News correspondent. You know how we talk to various people like David Blaustein,
right,
and
Alex Stone? Sure.
Ryan Burrow is the Chicago's version of Alex Stone.
When big stories happen in Chicago, Ryan talks to the nation and explains the stories to them.
All right, well, we'll just blow Ryan's little email then.
All right.
Without him. All right. Following the drawing, take some time to go through the numbers, because it's going to take several hours to determine if winners or multiple winners are out there. There are 47 jurisdictions, so it's going to take some time to determine if there is a winning ticket.
Okay.
So you should check. Don't rely on them telling you that you have a winner.
I can wait till the next day to find out that I didn't win this, can't you? Wouldn't you rather go to sleep? Wouldn't you rather sleep thinking you probably won?
I couldn't fall asleep. Are you kidding me?
One last night of dreams?
Right. You get a bonus night of dreams. On Saturday, when they call the winner, did you go to bed knowing whether or not you won?
I didn't play.
You didn't play? No, you did play. You gave me money,
remember?
Oh,
I did. Yeah. No, I figured you would have called me.
Oh.
That's a bad figure.
Right.
Actually, I heard there was no winner, so I didn't have to
so
worry
then
about
you,
it.
The minute you heard that, you're like, all right, I can finally go to bed.
Yeah, boy, thank God for you, or I wouldn't have played.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard there was another rollover, so I was able to go to sleep, but had I not known that, I wouldn't have been able
to
sleep.
You would have stayed up.
I can never sleep anyway. Handful of states can sell over the internet within the states. There are no legal sale overseas. This is in response to reports that people in China were buying online, but that's not true.
But they could come to America and purchase as many tickets as they wanted and go back, right? They can do that. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen to play the Powerball.
Would they actually book a flight to come here to buy tickets and then go back?
Let's say you're an extremely wealthy business person in another country.
I am.
Yeah, and I know you are. That's why
I deal in oil.
This scenario will be very easy for you to understand. a person like yourself who's made a lot of money overseas, you come to America, you hear about this, you go, I'm going to fly in, buy 1,000 tickets, and fly out. You could do that, right? Why not?
Yeah, you could.
You could do that.
Who's going to? But I guess there are people.
I saw Kim Jong-il at the 7-Eleven by my house.
You've got to be in it to win it, Kim.
You got to be in it to win it, Kim.
Yesterday, leading states in sales. Texas was the third highest selling yesterday. Number two, New York City. You want to know what the number one state
for buying lottery
for sales?
Tickets?
Yes.
California?
Yeah.
Is it California?
All the people who don't need the money.
Well, for most of us in the Midwest, one of our dreams is to live in a nice place like California. If I had a lot of money, I'd move to California. You hear that all the time. But they live in California, and they're looking for a
dream.
They
want Hawaii.
I think that's it.
It's always, you always want
one step up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yesterday, on Tuesday, $326.5 million in sales.
Wow.
I'm Brian Burroughs down here.
I wish he was here to explain this to us.
Well, yeah, I thought we were...
Hi, Ryan.
Sorry. You couldn't do 2:30, so we were going to do 2.
I don't feel bad. You're under a lot of pressure.
You know what? I had KEX in Portland, then I had Como in Seattle.
Perry Como?
That frequency too. Dropper.
That too. Yeah, frequency dropper. I got WBT coming up in Charlotte.
Oh,
so
you're just saying letters now.
I'm glad I could squeeze in sense. WGN.
We did explain that you're like the Chicago's version of Alex Stone. You know, when we talk to him, ABC News correspondent, you do that in various other markets. We were talking about the number one state in leading in sales was California. Mm-hmm. I blew through your whole email pretty much.
Okay, well, then I'll just sit back
except
here.
The dirty parts.
It's going to take some time to... there are 47 jurisdictions, so it's going to take some time to determine if there are winners. But if you're watching live,
yeah,
you'll know right away
and
that we won.
I was tipped off that the networks all have charter planes ready on all the coasts, ready to send all their
Seriously?
Teams
do they really?
To wherever this is. And remember, you do not have to declare in some of these states. So, you know, these reporters could get there, do their interview with the clerk of wherever it was purchased, and then
yeah,
just
Illinois.
Wait, right?
Did you see as well CNBC's doing a... 1 hour show tonight.
On what?
God. On the
lottery?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Like
wow.
Living in under
time.
A rock somewhere? Well, this is like all that anyone is talking about.
What could they possibly say for an hour? How are they going to get an hour's worth of material out of this?
Well, you guys are coming up on 25 minutes.
All right. But part of that was Find Ryan Burrow. They're not going to play that. That's our game.
By the way, Kevin, I printed the numbers of our office pool. Did it work? I had to change printer settings. No, I've tried to print this thing 10 times. That's an omen that says we're not
winning.
Something's
wrong.
Ryan, are you in any of the pools here?
No.
I can't believe
that. You're the smartest person here. You are.
Take my $2 and... Have some fun
and
with
what?
It.
Do what? Right. What are you going to do with the $2?
Have some fun with it. I don't know. What's it take a guess now? $1.97 by me, I think.
Can't get a cup of coffee at Starbucks for $2.
Mm-hmm. Gallon gas, though. That's not bad.
All right. So yesterday we got to the $326.5 million in sales. Today, why don't you take it from there?
More than $600 million in sales anticipated. It's incredible, too. We're seeing by rush hour tonight, which is 4 to 7 p.m., Texas is where they were doing this, an estimated more than $1.3 million worth of lottery tickets being sold every minute.
Every minute.
Every minute.
That's incredible.
Hey, listeners, if you're out there right now, 312-981-7200, give us a call if you're in line waiting to buy a Powerball ticket and if there is a line. Because I think people already... pre-bought. You're going to get some people, but are there lines like crazy right now?
No, I have to tell you, the way it works is it's either people who are going into convenience stores and gas stations, buying something that they would have bought, like a coffee or getting gas, and then saying, oh, let me throw a Powerball ticket on top of it. You will have a late push here, especially after work. People are going to be getting off. They're going to be, after hearing your radio show, they'll be like, oh, I got to do that as soon as I get out before I get home. So it's going to be packed, and it will steadily increase. The lines will, the closer and closer we get to the drawing.
Can I make a prediction? Let's say there's one winner of this thing.
It'll
I predict that, it'll probably be Wendy. The odds are that it'll be Wendy.
Sure.
Somebody will offer this person a reality show as to how they will deal with their $1 billion winnings.
Sure.
Don't you think?
And
some
we get
network?
And we get to publicly watch how they blow it all, right?
Right.
Well, they then they get to have a reality show about how they blew all their money. And this just begins the spiral.
They were giving the percentages of how many people. It's something like 70% that within 5 years, all their winnings are gone.
Gone.
Which just shows we're not equipped to have that big of a life change. I mean, we just don't know what to do with
it. I'm seeing a lot of people freaking out on social media about, do I take the lump sum? Do I take the,
Spend a lot of time worrying about that.
Yeah, right. Remember,
just dream a little dream. Don't worry about the specifics until you win tomorrow.
This shouldn't be something that keeps you up at night. You know? I mean,
it would be the best problem in the world to have. Should I take one lump sum or have it paid out every year? That's the best problem you could ever have.
All right, we are live in the middle of the Ryan Burrow's bureau. And Randy, where are you right now?
Joliet.
Okay, we go live to Joliet right now, and listener Randy, who has just purchased your Powerball ticket. Is that right, Randy?
That is correct. I bought two $2 tickets, and I got a $1 scratch off for my $5 in the machine. No attendant on spite, just all on the machine, and three people in front of me. One person walked up behind me.
All right, so not too bad?
Yeah. No, not too bad.
Do the numbers have any significance to you at all, Randy? Do they mean anything?
Nope, quick picks.
Yeah, all right.
You know what I do, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I could really help people. The way that everybody is going gaga over the Powerball, why don't we all play the Little Lotto or the Lotto?
The Mega Millions, there was a roll
okay,
over there.
Okay, see? Because really, 12 million or something that it's up to, that's enough.
12 million,
1 million's
please.
Enough.
Who needs 12 million?
You feel lucky, Randy?
Yes, I do. And I will take the lump sum.
All right, well, thank you very much.
I love, Randy, that you've already thought about it.
I know, I love it.
I spent all night thinking about it. I'm going lump on this one.
lump.
It's in your head.
Yeah. Do you want to do a sign-off here? This is Randy reporting live from Joliet. Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill and Wendy on WGN, and we continue now with the Girl Bureau.
Thank you. Wow.
You are
that
awesome.
Was really good, Randy.
You
got to
get that sponsored right there.
Randy, just great job. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
That was great.
That is a great listener.
Yep. Well.
All right. What else do we need to know?
You've got
got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, you got T-minus, will this be 6 hours to get
so
that
10 o'clock sugar? Tonight, they're going to do it live online and everywhere.
Tom Bergeron going to do it?
Actually, have you read at all about how this process goes? I mean, they're like three people with, handcuffed suitcases.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it is insane.
They take this really seriously.
Very, very seriously.
Because if one of their brothers wins, how's that going to look?
They weigh every single ball. They, check every, only so many people can... What?
I didn't say a word. Right. Bill gives me a look. Why do I get
it
called?
It just seems extreme.
Talking about weighing balls. Secure, I don't know.
There are security codes that, need to be cracked first, and only three people know the combination.
Right.
So.
James
it's some
Bond
serious
knows
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so.
You didn't buy one ticket?
No.
Why? It's $2. For
this reaction.
I'll show you, people. You're the only one in the city who's not going to win.
Yeah. I won my $2.
Yeah.
Any chance your wife is buying tickets behind your back?
She better not.
That would be trouble.
Stand
Thanks, Ryan.
Firm.
Thank you so much,
it.
Ryan.
All right, a quick break, some news, and then your chance to win for sure with the Celebrity Crush game. That's coming up in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
So you said we're going to play Candy Crush?
No, not Candy Crush, Wendy. Celebrity Crush. And I'll explain why this came to me. It came to me in a dream. And I'll explain why in just a little bit. But if you wouldn't mind, every line is full. We've got a lot of people who want to play the Celebrity Crush game. Just picked any two at random, and we'll pit them up against each other for a fabulous prize.
All right, I'm going to take them in the order in which they came in. Do you want a guy and a girl?
Sure.
All right, Colleen, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing well. Hope you know your celebrity crushes. Bill will explain it to you in a moment. I'd like you to meet your challenger. And his name is Jose. Hello, Jose.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jose. Hi, Colleen.
Hello.
I'll explain very briefly. There is an article in the February issue of Glamour magazine in which Jennifer Lawrence admits that she has an incredible crush on a celebrity that you wouldn't think Jennifer Lawrence would have a crush on. It turns out that it's Larry David. She loves Larry David, even gave Larry David her phone number and said, call me. And she's upset because Larry David never called me. Now, to be honest, Wendy,
I find this a little bit creepy because there's a large age disparity between those two. But you know how celebrities are. There's no rules in the world of celebrities. So here's what I've done. I've got a whole bunch of real celebrity crushes. These are celebrities that have actual crushes on other celebrities and some that I've made up. So we'll take turns between Colleen and Jose and see if you can determine which ones are real or not real. You each get one lifeline. You can ask Wendy's help on one of these if you want, okay?
Okay, good luck, Colleen.
Oh, that's nice,
you
Jose.
Too.
Oh, very nice.
Should we check out the buzzers?
Yeah, you want to? Well, no buzzers because I'll give Colleen one and then Jose one.
Okay, got it.
All right. You tell me if this is real or not, Colleen. Ready?
Yes, I am.
Does Carly Fiorino have a crush on Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
Final answer?
No.
Nope, she does not. I made that one up. Very well played. I made that one up.
I would have believed that one.
I made that one up. Colleen, you lead 1-0. Jose, good luck. Ready?
All right.
Does Kate Upton, do you know who Kate Upton is?
The name sounds familiar.
Supermodel. Very, very beautiful model.
She's gorgeous.
Yep, beautiful.
Oh, I think I know where this one's going. All right. Go ahead.
Does Kate Upton have a crush on Desi Arnaz Jr.?
False.
You say no?
I say no.
You're both right. I made that one up as well.
Let's whip
1-1.
Desi Arnaz Jr. out
of
your back
pocket. I like to mention
Desi
Arnaz Jr. from time to time. Colleen, the score is tied. It's up to you. Here goes on this one. Does Martha Stewart have a crush on Christian Bale?
Yes.
Absolutely right.
Get out of here.
Absolutely right.
She wants to get her funk on.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being...
It's kind of creepy.
It is very creepy,
yes.
But very true. Jose, you're trailing 2-1, but we haven't done your round yet, so let's see what happens here.
Wait, yeah, you're right. You're good at keeping score. I'm sorry.
Does Bryan Cranston... Now, do you know who Bryan Cranston is?
I can't say that I do.
Breaking Bad.
From Breaking Bad, from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Does Bryan Cranston have a crush on Kesha?
True.
Jose, I made that one up.
Oh, I believed that.
That was very believable, but incorrect. Colleen, you lead 2-1. It's the first to get 100.
Oh, God.
I know. I hope you guys don't have anywhere to go.
I hope Rose listening and can turn around.
We got extra time all of a sudden. Colleen, you have 2, but Jose is only trailing by 1. Colleen, good luck on this one. Ready?
Yep.
Does Carol Burnett have a crush on Bruno Mars?
Yep.
Your answer again?
Yes.
Colleen, I made that one up.
Yeah, that's even creepier than
she
creepy.
Hates Bruno Mars. Can't stand him. It's her arch nemesis. Jose, you're down by 1. This is a big one for you. Let's see what you can do with this.
All right, guys.
Does Jonah Hill have a crush on Allison Janney? Do you know who that is?
No.
Allison Janney's from that. Is it called Mothers or Motherhood? She was on West Wing.
Mom.
She's on Mom. Right. So does Jonah Hill have a crush on Allison Janney?
I'm going to say true.
Jose, I made that one up. That one is not true.
Boy.
So Colleen is still in the lead. It's close. It's 2-1. Colleen, we go to you.
78 more to go. 98
more to go.
Can I tell you this is the dumbest game I have ever heard, but I'm enjoying listening to it?
It couldn't be more dumb.
I love it. And you guys are enjoying playing, aren't you, Colleen and Jose?
Well, you'll both get a home. You're both going to walk away with a home version where I come to your homes and I just do it. It's embarrassing, but I do. How about this one? Is this real or not, Colleen? Does Diane Keaton have a crush on Channing Tatum?
Who doesn't?
So you're saying yes?
Yes.
Colleen, you're right. It's 3-1 in your favor.
You led the witness there. You kind of helped her out.
How so?
The way you said that.
I got excited. It's exciting to
think
about those two together.
But that's just
Wendy, that's a sin. All right, we go to you, Jose. Good luck on this one. It's 3-1. You're falling behind. Got to get this one right. Does Reese Witherspoon have a crush on Dan Rather?
False.
Jose, you're correct. I made that one up.
I have lost everyone. I nod
you.
To Bill
I know.
Off the... everyone I've gotten wrong.
The falser they are.
Yeah, I know. All right, it's 3-2 in favor of Colleen.
Colleen, does Sarah Hyland, do you know who Sarah Hyland is from Modern Family? She's the oldest daughter.
Yes.
Does Sarah Hyland have a crush on Quentin Tarantino?
Ew.
I don't even think Quentin Tarantino's mother has a crush.
Oh, that's mean. That's just mean.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
That one is made up. You lead 4-2. 4-2. We go to you, Jose. Does LeBron James have a crush on Adele?
False.
You say false?
Yes.
All right, it's 4-3. You were right on that one. I made that one up.
I have missed everyone. Are you noticing this?
You have not scored a point. You've not even come close.
I'm not your lifeline anymore.
Colleen, it's your round. It's 4-3. This could be big for you. If you get this one right and Jose gets this one wrong, you win, and Jose has to leave town. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Does Helen Mirren have a crush on Vin Diesel?
Yes.
That is absolutely right.
I have a crush on Helen Mirren, if you want to know the truth.
Helen Mirren
is
a hot property.
Smoking hot.
Hot property. Jose, this is just for fun, because unless you get 2 points on this one, there's no way you can win. But let me throw one more your way. Does Rihanna have a crush on William Hurt?
Rihanna. You know what? I'm going to say false.
You're right on that one. So it's 5-4. But 5 points is all you need to win. Colleen, you're our winner. You won the first edition of Celebrity Crush. Congratulations.
Yay.
Well done.
Congratulations, Colleen.
Oh, listen to how nice.
Can we give Jose
something,
too? Because
that's just nice.
You are the most gracious loser, and I mean that in a sweet way, Jose. I don't mean you're a loser. But why don't we set you guys up? Colleen, congratulations. You are the winner. But Jose, for good sportsmanship, you're both going to walk away with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. How does that sound?
Thank you very much.
Colleen, yours is for $1 more since you won. That's only fair.
You.
All right. Thanks, guys. Stay on the line, and Kevin will talk to you.
All right. Hang on. A Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
All right.
Isn't it 1-800-LOU-2-GO?
1-800-LOU-2-GO.
That was so dumb, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
The dumbest thing ever.
And I suck at it.
You got one right. You did get one at the end.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You got one right.
How old is Helen Mirren? Because I'm telling you, she is the most attractive woman, regardless of age, but she is.
She's stunning.
And she likes Vin Diesel.
Yeah, she says she has a crush on Vin Diesel. I'll see if I can find the exact quote for you. I'm a huge fan of Vin Diesel, she revealed on an episode of Late Night with Seth Meyers. After watching him give a speech at some ceremony, I thought he's so smart and so funny and so cool. I just sort of fell a little bit in love with him right then and there. That, according to Helen Mirren, you normally wouldn't put those two together, but she's got a big crush on Vin Diesel.
Cool for her.
Yeah, she'd be Helen Diesel if they got married, which would be weird. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll clean up, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You did a lovely job.
That's nice of you. I just got off the phone with the Game Show Network. They said that things are a little busy right now. January is a bad month for them, but they'll review the tape and get back to us. So we'll see if we can get that going.
Were any of those celebrity crushes real? Because I would like to hear the stories behind them.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren liked Vin Diesel.
Yeah, some of the ones. I mean, the ones I said were
Oh, sorry,
real,
did you already get rid of it?
Yeah, I might have already I sold
you
it.
You move right along.
Yeah, you know how I don't live in the past.
All right, well, back to Powerball Fever. 708 says a gas station in Tinley Park has a line for lottery out the door, probably 40 people right now.
Is that right? Well, they predicted this. They said that if you wait till the last minute, and this isn't really the last minute because it's going to be done later tonight, but I guess for people going home, it is the last minute. So, yeah, it's going to get a little tense in the last few hours before this drawing.
And Mark Cuban, rags to riches story, going from broke bartender to owner of NBA basketball team. Which one does he own?
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. He has some advice for anyone who wins. The, is it $1.5 billion Powerball jackpot? Has it gone to $1.6 billion?
It's somewhere in that area, yeah.
Mark Cuban has some tips. Should a winner emerge? So if you're listening, any of you guys, and you win, here's what Mark Cuban says you should do, and I kind of think he knows how to handle money.
Mm-hmm.
Get a tax attorney. First thing out of the box.
Very solid advice. And a financial planner, probably. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And get a financial planner immediately.
Well, he says get a tax attorney, avoid the lump sum.
Why?
And decline requests for cash from friends and relatives. Those are among the tips.
But could you do that? Let's say, and I'm playing the game now. I'll play into the fantasy too. Let's say you won the money. You know that people close to you would come to you and say, "Hey,
can I tell you something?
All this money. I need." You would give it to them, wouldn't you?
I never in a million years. If you won, say you won.
Yeah.
I would never in a million years go, "Hey, how about a little something, something?"
Right.
I swear to God. So I can't.
Did you mean money in that scenario, by the way? What did you mean by that?
No, but I thought I'd sneak it in.
All right. I'm hoping you meant money.
Slip that one right in. No. Yes, I meant money.
Thank God. All right.
But I never thought for a minute. I mean, because you hear all over the radio, all over the world, everyone's like, "Oh, you're going to have people from, you know, your distant relatives."
Sure.
No, I'm not. No one but my immediate family, really only my husband, will go, "Hey, could I have a little something?"
But you know that there are people that you've met either casually. You don't think anyone would approach you and say, "Hey, I saw that story. Congratulations on all that money. This is a weird thing to bring up, but we haven't been working like we
used
to." No, you don't
if
think
someone
that would ever
came right up and asked me, there's no way.
You wouldn't give them the money.
No, you can't just go up to somebody and
People who have been in this situation have thousands of stories about people that go, "I didn't even know I had a cousin Jim," and cousin Jim comes over and he wants some money.
What happened to manners?
Do I have distant
cousin Peter LaRue who comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm in a financial bind. Can I borrow $1,000? Like now? No.
Right.
So why should he come up if I'm a billionaire?
I remember years ago, this guy that my dad knew so casually, he used to work for my grandmother, and he called my dad up out of the blue and he goes, "Hey, I lost my job and I've had a hard time getting another job and somebody in my family has been sick. Could you just front me a couple of $1,000 and as soon as things balance out?" And he knew this guy so casually, but isn't that a weird thing to just call somebody that you hadn't seen? At that point, I don't think my dad had seen him in 15 years. And my dad was polite about it. He goes, "Oh, you know, I'm sorry for what you're going through, but I can't just give you a couple of $1,000 just like that."
It's terrible that someone has these trials and tribulations and they're so desperate to have to ask.
Sure.
You know, we've all been in a bind where we need some money and it looks very bleak.
Absolutely.
But you don't go asking strangers for money you don't go asking distant relatives for money.
Here's a slightly more upbeat version. Let's say somebody very close to you goes, "Hey, I've never told you about this, but I've been working on this thing that I think has the potential to make millions and millions of dollars. I just need some money fronted to me. You'll be in charge of the company. We'll be partners in the company." You wouldn't help anybody like that.
Well, no, not unless I was in on the planning stages and it was something you were doing together.
Right.
You can't just all of a sudden knock on somebody's door and say,
"Do.
Give me investment money
I'm
broke."
You know people do. There's so many people.
No one's ever asked me. No one. I would never ask anyone. That sounds very foreign to me.
Yeah. It should be. I wouldn't do it to anybody either, but you know this goes on. How do people run through, like we gave that stat earlier about 70% of people who win the lottery lose all their money within 5 years. How could you go through that much money? What do you have to do? I wouldn't know how to spend that much money, would you? I would have no idea how to go through that much money.
Yeah, but that's why he's saying Mark Cuban saying avoid the lump sum. He pointed out that $1.6 billion treasure chest won't guarantee happiness or make someone a smart investor. You can put it in the bank and live comfortably. You'll sleep a lot better knowing you won't lose money because you don't need to. What can you do with all that money right at the start?
Think about it. Let's say you bought yourself a palace somewhere in an airplane or a helicopter or something.
I already have.
You'd still, right. I picked those because I knew you already had all those things. But you could, like, how could you go through that much money?
You couldn't. That's why don't take the lump sum.
I'd want the lump sum.
Of course you would. The U.S. government automatically withholds 25% of such large prizes. For someone choosing the lump sum, that reduces take-home winnings by $232.5 million.
Oh, all right, there's that. Because I would want the lump sum, and I'd want it in a bag that says lump sum on the bag.
Really, you don't want the S with the
no,
two lines through
that's
it?
That's tacky. I want my bag to say lump sum right on it in a decorative font.
You demand a lot, don't you, you billionaire to be.
Yes, I do. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.